Hey everyone, before we get this episode rolling, I just wanted to remind everyone that next week is our interview with Kerrigan Mahan, the voice of Goldar in the original Magna Defender and Jeb the Talking Dog from VR Troopers and a whole bunch of other roles. So if you have any questions for him that you'd like answered, please submit them via Twitter to @TheRRPodcast on our Facebook page. Or email at writersrangersandrambles@gmail.com. So either way, whatever works best for you, just submit your questions. We'll also be doing a little fun, hey, say that in whatever character voice you wish for him to use. So if you've got a funny phrase or anything like that that you want him to say in one of his character's voices, go ahead and submit that as well. So once again, that will be next week, and we are recording that on Wednesday. So please get your submissions in before probably about Tuesday night, so we have time to compile everything before we record on Wednesday. So as always, thanks for the support, and look forward to seeing what you guys submit. So on with the show.
Welcome to the RR Podcast. We bring you the latest in Toku news, in-depth discussions, and everything else that you could ask for, all with a healthy dose of insanity. So here are your hosts, Shugun Shinobi, Dawson Rider, Jedimon, and Aerosol. Writers, Rangers, and Rambles, Season 5. Ready? Go!
Hello and welcome to our Season 5, Episode 11.
Purple is the new pink. I know we already did Orange is the New Black reference, but don't even care. That's what I told Brian, right? I was like, we already did one of these references, I don't even care. Because I had nothing, seriously. I was struggling this week. I was searching for words with gime puns, like, and then all of a sudden this happened. I'm like, alright, this is
the only inspiration. Surprised you didn't try to make a drive pun.
I thought about that as well. I'm going to have to get practice at that. It's not quite as easy. But those will await us when we re-hit the streets again after we prematurely left.
All of this purple Triceratops news drives me crazy. Saturday night drive. No? Okay.
You're stealing material.
Xbox Drive. Sorry. I'll stop. They're all really stupid.
Well, that just describes our show, really.
On that note, one-ups.
Okay. Okay, well, I don't even know. Like,
check my...
I don't even know. What have I got? I recovered the Shogun Megazord and Ninja Megazord from my storage at my parents' house because Season 3 and Kaku Ranger are happening at the same time.
Hey, so did I. High five.
I know. It was funny because I saw your tweet and I'm like, I need to do this too because I was already planning on it.
Besties, and then Brian just drove over there saying besties. I said Drew. Brian, you drove over there. Kamen Rider Drew. Shift into overdrew.
What was that one word I kept messing up? It was really stupid.
When?
It was a long time ago. Noon. I should have noon.
Oh, yeah. I should have noon. And I mentioned it. You're like, damn. I was hoping you wouldn't catch that. Overdrew, accelerate. All right, last one. Sorry.
So that's not like a new acquisition or anything, but it happened.
Ooh, fancy word.
I had a family get together
Please
Monday
tell us.
Through Wednesday. That was that was a thing. It's always an adventure, let me tell you. But nothing actually exciting happened. Like, I didn't find anything. I got the... Today, anyway. Well, yeah, today. I got the Super Mega Cannon and the Thundersaurus Megazord figure and the Alien Ranger key pack, courtesy of Kevin, who is absent at the moment.
Like in class.
He'll be here later. But that happened to... There's more shit that had to have happened. All the Silver Ranger stuff happened last week. I don't know. I feel like I'm missing something. I'm looking around the room frantically going, what the fuck did I buy? Build Dio and Safari Gao are shipped, apparently.
Gao's such a funny word.
So those will be on the way. I paid for my AmiAmi order. That'll probably get here next week sometime. But no.
Have you managed to get an Apple Lock Seeds yet?
No. I probably should have tried to get those, but I have a feeling they'll probably pop up. AmiAmi never even stocked any.
Yeah, like, they don't even have a listing, I don't think. Do they?
I don't know
that they do. They don't have a listing for Gao either, so.
Yeah, they don't have a listing for Gao.
They're really slip.
Build one up, like, at least twice, I think. I kept missing it. I don't know.
Yeah, so did I. It's so frustrating.
AmiAmi is basically a lost cause at this point.
But Mandarake has been pretty good about it. Like, even Gaim stuff, like, if it's scarce at first, it's easy later. Like, you can get arm change figures dirt cheap there now.
Mm-hmm.
But it used to be ridiculous. It was like, arm change Budo, $10,000. Like, wait, what? That's actually the price on Michi's head. I'm sorry, we messed that up.
So, I'm happy about that anyway, but... Yeah, I still need the Skullox seed, the capsule one, and then I need the Apple-Ox seeds, and I'm finally caught up with everything.
I think I might get that final Gashapon set with the voices.
I can't find that anywhere.
It's on AmiAmi. I've been refreshing it every now and
then. Yeah, let me know if it comes in stock, because I'll probably buy a box if it comes in stock. If it doesn't, I'm probably not going to actively search for them individually, but...
Yeah.
So let me know, but,
right.
Yeah, that's about it. I'll have a bunch of crap next week, but this week was pretty low.
Okay, let's see. It's my exciting life. Pretty much nothing. I got the Thundersaurus figure arrived yesterday. Oh, and I knew there was something I was reading last week. Super Mega Cannon arrived yesterday, but there was like a story behind it I completely forgot last week, but I actually ordered that thing like when it first went on ToysRUs.com, and I wanted to get free shipping, so I bought, they had Scratch Skylander, it's the last one I needed, and then I bought that little, you've probably seen it around, it's like a little plush TARDIS that makes noise, I just bought it to hang in my car. So anyway, I ordered all that, but when I ordered it, I was in a hurry, and I was downstairs, so I ordered it from my mom's computer. And I wasn't paying attention, and you know, I entered my address information, but she has that thing, it's like a program that stores all of her passwords and information, so it filled in her credit card information. So like, after I ordered it, like an hour later, I get a call from my mom, they're like, they canceled the order because they thought it was fraud. And so they canceled it, but then like my mom called them and said, no, like that's clearly my son, so it's not fraud. So they're like, well, the cannon's out of stock, but then they shipped me Scratch and the TARDIS for free. And they said if the cannon ever came in stock again, they would credit me free shipping for it too. So I had to wait and do that, but it was super annoying. But so that happened. I completely forgot that happened until like Scratch and the TARDIS thing arrived, and it took like forever to get here. It actually only got here a few days ago, so... any other purchases? I finally ordered a Kiwami from Mandarake. I've seen them around a lot, but I was waiting for them to have something else I wanted. And I ended up getting the Deno Lock because I didn't have the regular Deno Lock, and a Figure Arts Gao because I never got it and I really wanted it. So that is on its way. I think that's it for purchases. I pre-ordered Buffy Season 9 Volume 1 and Angel and Faith Volume 1 or whatever, but I still have like all the ones in between I need to get. But they don't come out until like March or January or something crazy like that. Other than that, not too much. I'm almost done with Turbo now. I think I have like 10 episodes left, maybe less. I'm hoping to get it done tomorrow or Saturday. And I'm almost done with season 4 of Supernatural. So pretty much the same Netflix stories. No, I think Aerosol has pizza stories to tell us.
Let me tell you about something amazing that happened to me this weekend. So the people who make Cinnamon Toast Crunch came out with a chocolate version of their cereal. And it is like the greatest thing ever.
That was some hype you built up to that.
I just finished my box today. Good God. It's good.
He had You'll a freak out. Chocolate. Like, it was empty, and he just, like, ripped it apart instead of throwing it around. He went full-on Seacrest Hulk.
But, yeah, I also went on, like, a little quest for pizza or something like that, too.
That's not as exciting as the Chocolate Toast Crunch.
I'm actually sitting here reading a review of it. Someone reviewed the cereal.
That's how obsessed he is with it.
They gave it a 7.75 out of 10. I think it deserves at least a solid 8.
I think it deserves 9.75.
But yeah, I was out of town this weekend. And the place we were staying at, this was me and my brother. For whatever reason, none of the pizza places around us would deliver. And I really wanted pizza, because pizza. Why the hell not? Have you ever listened to this podcast? That's like half of my one-offs. None of them would deliver. Like, they were like 5 miles away, and none of them would deliver at all. And we didn't really have a way of getting anywhere. So we found the closest one, which was a mile away, and decided, hey, a mile shouldn't take us that long to walk. So we did. Turns out, it did take us a while to walk there because there was no sidewalk. We had to walk along. Part of it was along the highway, and then part of it was through farmland. I swear to you, it was barren. Like, everything was barren.
It was kind of doing there.
Full of bananas. But no, it was just like flat farmland, no other buildings around, until we eventually came upon the pizza place, which is just like this, you know how in Harold and Kumar when they find the White Castle? Yeah. And it's just a White Castle in the middle of nowhere. It's just this oasis in the middle of this cheetah infested forest. That's how I felt.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
it's just this pizza place that looks like a church. It really does. And it's just sitting there in the middle of nowhere, and we we felt like so overjoyed when we finally got to it.
Was the pizza at least good?
It was all right.
We traveled a mile, dirt-covered, riding cheetahs for an all-right piece of pizza.
The place was called Knuckles.
At least it wasn't the Beat Riders.
Exactly.
When my mom and aunt and everyone was in South Dakota, they were at a place called the Knuckles Saloon, and my mom was wearing a shirt from it, and I looked at the back, I was like, at least it wasn't me. She was really confused.
They had these things, and this was kind of our selling point on going here, called knuckle knots, which are just garlic knots, but called knuckle knots. And they come with cheese, so why not? It's basically just like a round hunk of dough that tastes faintly like garlic. But that was about it. Yeah,
I like just following the tweets where you're like, we found a tractor, quest for pizza continues, my brother fell in a hole, I'm leaving him behind or something.
Well, my brother had to stop to tie his shoe. I was actually the one who fell in the hole. And I got back because we went, we picked up the pizza, and then we walked it back to to where we were staying. And I got down, we got there, I sat down, and I found a tick in my leg. Oh, so I guess when I fell in the hole, and there were ticks in there. So that was fun. I had to pull that out and clean it with alcohol and pray that I didn't get Lyme disease, I guess.
At least you had pizza. At least it wasn't the Beat Writers. Sir, then, you have Lyme disease. At least it wasn't the Beat Writers.
And then, what? Of course, my dumbass doesn't wear socks when I walk there. So I'm just barefoot in my boots. So I've got blisters on my heels still. It's painful to put on shoes. But hey, I got pizza out of it.
I don't remember exactly what the tweet said, but it was like one of your first tweets when you went on your trip, and it said something like, "It's morning, we started the trip, and I'm not wanting pizza yet." But somehow I interpreted it as like you woke up angry there wasn't pizza. Like, I just imagine like you're asleep in the car and you wake up and your brother's like, "Hey," and you're like, "Where the fuck is the pizza? God damn it." Like, I don't know why, but I just imagine this whole scenario where you're like flipping out if there was not pizza near you all the time. I have no idea why, but I think it was because you were eating pizza the last time we talked to you, but I just thought it was like the most hilarious thing if you just woke up mad at your brother because there wasn't pizza.
Well, I was a little disappointed because I had to throw out the pizza that I was eating last week on the podcast because I opened the box and there was a spider in it.
Ah.
Like, gee, it was a big one too, like this like big black spider. I was wearing a bandana and holding a gun and throwing up gang signs. I didn't know what to do.
Oh, man.
That was a racist. I'm sorry.
Makes sense considering how he warmed up for the show.
But yeah, that was an interesting trip. Just nothing but farmland and highways, and we came across the train at some point.
The Tokusers are here. I'm in no mood for their shit. That was also a favorite. I also like to imagine Aerosol would flip out if the Tokusers tried to interrupt him getting pizza. Oh, man.
Well, that about does it for me. I finally found a Chespin plushie.
Oh,
sorry.
My dog got my Froakie one, so I had to get another
one. I've actually been looking for it for ever since they came out, and I just haven't been able to find one. I finally found one. I found it with my my chocolate cereal. So
it was a good day. What a damn A1 day. all right. Guess it's time for the news.
Oh, boy.
This is going to be a fun week. Just so you know, probably immediately after this comes out, we'll have suit pictures of Drive. We don't have them now, but because the podcast is releasing, we'll get them. So you're welcome.
Yeah,
on that.
And it doesn't help that the like the press conferences that usually happen like a Friday. And yeah. So that's like just now happening in Japan. If it even is this week, it might be next week. I don't know.
So either way, we're going to be late on it.
Yeah. Because it's unfortunate because we have basically the entire first quarter catalog, which actually isn't too many different actual scans. Like, they condense that catalog, like, major. But, there's the... Actually, the vinyls weren't on there. But the figure line is called TK. I don't... Tire or something. Whatever.
Michelin tires.
Sure.
I thought it had to do with the type.
That makes more sense. Type something.
Type change. It's just spelled with a K. Okay.
It should be a typewriter Sentai. Writer.
I'm joking.
they're superhuman samurai cyber squatting it up.
What samurai?
It's purposely spelled shit wrong for alliteration purposes. But these figures, they're just silhouettes. Like, we don't get to actually see what it looks like because they're all like, oh, these stupid toy catalog scans leak before our press conferences and it's supposed to be a big reveal. Blah.
I like how Kevin put it on Twitter. All of his forms are blocked out. Even his base form, which we should have by now, is blocked out.
Yes.
It's like a big secret. I feel like I'm looking at redacted documents.
It's like they know. They're like, this is going to leak before the press conference. Let's not even bother.
And then he inserts the redacted into redacted to become redacted form. Like, damn it! This is like Ron's medical records.
There's like so much here and no actual solid news article to go off of.
There's like so much there, but yet so little. That's the way I see it.
I'm trying to remember all the fucking
there's things. There's the drive driver, obviously, which basically looks like a speedometer with a tube of lipstick stuck to it.
So you can apply it while driving in the rearview mirror.
Then there's the shift changer, which sort of reminds me of the Tokyuger's Henshin device, only with a car. And I guess the cars like twist or something in order to fit into it. But from the looks of it, it looks like it scans across the belt.
Kind of like a OS thing or a Deno thing, more like it, I guess.
Technology wise, I think it's more like the OS system, but reversed. That the readers and the belt and the everything else is in the car. I've heard that you don't have to actually scan it, that it will just pick it up, but I don't think that's right.
That would be neat.
It would be really
just
neat.
Kind of like in proximity.
If it's in a certain range, that'd be cool.
So we'll see if it...
It's so confusing because there's sort of quite a bit to look at, but because there's no suit, for some reason, like, I can't form a coherent opinion about anything. Like, it's hard to describe, but it's like I look at it and I can't really say anything like, oh, such and such and such and such. I'm like, I just need a suit picture so bad.
Let's see. There's also the door gun, which is exactly as it sounds, just a gun made out of a car door.
Like, I really hope, like, the car's there and he just rips the door off of his car. And it turns into a gun. I want that to happen.
And then, for whatever reason, I cannot remember the actual name, and my internet's not working somehow.
Are you here?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm scared I might vanish at some point. But
no,
there's a sword.
The handle sword
pops out of the
handle sword, which is a steering wheel.
It's kind of like the GoBusters one, but not as clever.
It's not. It's just a normal sword, but with a steering wheel attached to it.
Like, I just like the idea of him driving, and he just pushes a button, the sword protrudes out of the steering wheel, and he just yanks it out of his car. He's like, all right, let's do this.
Like, it's certainly unique, but of all the things to put the steering wheel on, you don't put it on the belt, you don't put it on the gun or anything. No, you put it on the sword. where it has no reason to be.
Apparently, from what I've heard people talking about, you move the wheel. Chair's squeaking.
It's creepy.
You move the steering wheel to do different attacks. I don't know where that would have came from, given the tiny little picture we have doesn't show any sort of motion whatsoever. It's just a picture. But it's not even a picture of the toy, it's an illustration. But anyway, it'd be kind of cool, I guess. But it is really stupid, like, just in general concept. There is a shift car holder, because we always have to have a holder.
Hot Wheel is wheeling away.
It's just a little thing that attaches to the belt that can hold three cars. And it comes with this green thing. I don't know any of the cars' names.
Red, blue, pink, mahogany.
There's...
I haven't seen anything where that gives the names for them yet.
Doesn't matter. There's no secret.
See, there's Type Wild and Type Technic are his two alternate forms.
Technic sounds like a picnic where you just do technical stuff.
I can't for the life of me remember what his main form was called.
Speed type.
Okay, there we go.
Speed, or type wild speed.
Guess what type technic. I am? Charm type.
Fairy type.
You know, it was funny when George mentioned, like, the very first picture, which is the driver, it was taken by a sweaty, rushed guy. I just pictured Kevin from The Office, like, trying to hurriedly get a photo with the camera phone, just being like, oh, man. Can't eat cats, Kevin.
There's also one other silhouette down at the bottom of the page that's just labeled as Rival.
Yeah, the little thing is apparently called the information box is listing him as machine chaser, but it's like machine, not like the actual word machine. And I'm confused because I'm getting information from like five different places, and some has some information and some doesn't. It means something, I just don't remember what it is. Hopefully next week will be a little bit more coherent, but
I want the Rival Rider's belt to just be called the Rive River.
I think his transformation device is that purple thing on the left.
The thing that looks like a bug. Like, it looks like it's gonna possess you.
It kinda looks like a mix between like an Iron Knuckle and some sort of like weird shifty thing.
Wait, isn't the Iron Knuckle those garlic things aerosol ate?
No.
I want a garlic-based rider. He can fight vampires and go to Steak and Shake. That can be his hangout.
They also show five different shift car sets that all do different crap.
You know, they look like just generic concept art for Hot Wheels, like before Hot Wheels existed. Really, that's does. What they look like.
That's exactly what I thought of them as.
It basically is. And the figures all apparently come with these tire things that I assume goes on the car.
Are those the Beyblades?
They do kind of look like Beyblades. I don't know if they'll spin or if you attach them to the car.
Do wheels spin?
Kevin said that the car might get new rims and that... I don't know.
Get my ride, Kamen Rider Edition.
The picture does make it seem like something gets attached to the car.
There's a big picture of the car, and to the right, you can see the one that comes with the car is attached to the front driver's side wheel, and like the back wheel thing like pops up or out or something. So I think this entire thing is going to be his car getting new rims to do things. I guess. Finally, the only other thing on here is a movie thing of some sort that is apparently a Gaim shift car and a drive Lockseed. Because that has to be a thing always.
Yeah, it has to always. It's just like the magic hand switch.
Ajikuhando.
Jiha! I don't know why I said that.
So, what do you guys think?
I'm with Dawson. I don't know. Toy. Okay, just completely focusing on the toys. I still don't know because these are such condensed versions of the toy catalog that they're not really showing you much of anything. We don't even know what the figures look like, so I can't tell whether they look neat enough for me to buy them. I don't know what this car does exactly with these different little tire accessory things.
Drives.
To know what those do.
I think I'm right when you see a car. What do these tire accessories do? What does this machine do? Does it even make sounds? Like,
we don't know what the weapons do. We don't know what the actual individual cars do. And the driver, these stupid fucking catalogs don't goddamn tell us anything. So I don't know what to think. Someone tell me what to think.
We'll tie it all together. Like, I just can't think of any opinion other than my generic opinion of that cars in general don't interest me that much.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm coming from on it, too. I'm just really not that into cars. Not that any of the toys are necessarily bad. I have no way of knowing what they do or anything like that, but... just cars don't really interest me, so.
I never understand why so many guys are like really into working on cars. It's like being excited about doing chores. I just don't understand it. I like, oh boy, I get to fix it. I'm like, you could just be inside watching Netflix right now.
I like cars moderately because of how long I've been into Transformers, but I would never want to work on one, and I don't really care about knowing about them. I'm just like, hey, it's a car, and I sit there and wheel it around. Like, a toy, not an actual car.
Right? It's like, whatever, lights, I just wheel this stuff. Meet me, look out, world. That's Brian. I don't know why.
It is also just, it's really weird that we don't have a suit yet.
Yeah, it feels weird. I don't like it.
If I recall, last year, the first picture last year was of Guy casually walking down the street. And then... we got like that. We talked about a while ago that sort of joke concept of what the belt would be, and then ended up being pretty much like that, but only a little different looking. But
well, hopefully it ends up like it did last year, and we get the drive stuff while we're still talking about it, because that's essentially convenient. What happened with Gaim.
Yeah, right, and then we get a description of how the second rider is going to be just this low key guy, not important, and then later he ends up being the mastermind. Like, expectations for Michi before it started. He'll be torn between his brother and best friend. Reality, he killed his brother and is trying to kill his best friend. Never expected that.
He's torn between which one to kill first.
Well, he obviously made a decision.
But hopefully we'll have a little bit more to talk about next week, and hopefully a suit.
Probably know the suit will be out by now, and we just sound like idiots, because past us can't see anything. We're practically blind. Right? Crank it.
Damn straight, son.
It's a weird show.
All right. Do we have anything else before Comic-Con Power Ranger stuff?
No other Rider or Sentai stuff that I can think of.
The Morphicon?
Yeah, that guy.
Oh, I thought we were going to pay for less. So, Yu Yu Hakusho, the actor that plays Geki, is going to be... I don't know his name. It starts with a Y, though. The guy who plays Geki is going to Morphicon. And some, like, stunt people or whatever. And Kim Crossman, who's probably the most excited I was out of the announcements.
I'm sad he's only going on Saturday, but I definitely want to...
You know,
I'm going to have to lug that stupid poster to Morphicon anyway for Steven Skyler, so I'm going to have her sign it too. And I swear to God, if Erica Fong doesn't end up at this goddamn convention, there will be shit hitting the fan. I'm not taking that poster again.
You get Yu Yu Hakusho, but not Erica Fong? But, yeah, like, I'm excited to meet her in, you know, in Antonio since... Well, I always wanted to be in Antonio, but since I rewatched Samurai, I actually like it now, so... But, like, it's neat that they got somebody from Sentai, but it's from the Sentai and show that I despise most in the world. So I don't care about Geki, and I hate that people are telling me I have to care just because it's monumental. Can the guy even speak English? Like...
I have no idea.
I hope he can't, because it'll be more entertaining. Like, I just want to pop a chair and, like, watch if he can't speak English. Just, like, see what happens.
I pretty much agree. I agree. It's nice. I mean, it's a nice thing. I happen to not like Fat Geki, but you know, it's a nice little step. I mean, it's like I said on my SKFM, baby steps. It's a start.
Like, yeah,
No, go ahead. I talk too much.
I like what it represents in the fact of kind of bridging PR and Sentai together and trying to get some kind of Sentai representation at Morphicon, because no matter how much PR purists or Sentai purists want to talk about it, the two franchises rely on each other, and it's just a matter of fact. It's what it is. And so I like the idea of kind of bringing more Sentai representation in Morphicon. I feel like the money that was put into this was put in only for the sole fact that he is Tyranoranger. And that's what we used for Mighty Morphin, and so he's technically the first, even though he's not at all.
He's the 16th.
And
Austin St. John was like, who wants to see the two OGs? I was like, no! That's wrong. Boom, lawyered.
And with Austin there, it's the whole, here's the Japanese version of the guy, here's the English version of the guy, and hey look, we even have the replacement English version of the guy. And then we got the English stunt version of the guy and the Japanese version of the stunt guy. We got fucking five of the same guy here. Mine equals blowing.
Like, they're all the same person.
Like, between all of these years of team ups and everything in general, one of my biggest pet peeves in the fandom is the excitement over two things standing next to each other. I don't understand it. It's like such, I like the term I actually came up with. I call it shallow toku fapping. And it's just, there's like no point to this excitement. It is. There's like no point to the excitement. These two guys are going to be standing next to each other. What's the fucking big deal? I don't understand it.
I love the idea of shallow fapping. It's just, you're just tricking it, but you really don't have your heart in it. You just, oh, might as well do this.
Oh my god.
I like the idea that you need to have your heart in it. Like, otherwise,
I cannot masturbate properly unless my heart is in it.
Oh my god. I can't talk.
It's funny because I wasn't even thinking about it like that.
Neither was I.
You said it.
I never thought about it as a question of motivation.
Oh, Lord. Okay, composure. I honestly just feel like this was kind of a thing done because they could probably financially benefit from it. And like you said, you know that a majority of this fandom is going to freak the fuck out. Because that's just how most of this fandom reacts to anything like that. And if you're a fan of the guy, I understand being excited. Even if you're just kind of meh, I can still understand being excited. Because like I said, it does represent something really cool. But I personally don't feel that sort of excitement. Because I didn't enjoy G-Ranger, and I don't really have that sort of ambition. That's not even the right word. My mind's gone right now.
It's no different than a PR actor being there of a character you don't really like and don't have interest in meeting. That's the way I see it.
Right, and I think what gets me is like people saying, like, oh, you have to be excited for this. This is monumental, and I personally don't feel that way. Just because the guy's Asian doesn't mean it's monumental. I mean, honestly.
What about that time that Mag went down and visited Sosuke and said, selfie?
Yeah.
That happened, so historic moment ruined. But, you know, like, I hate when people tell me I have to be excited about something that I'm not excited about.
It kind of takes a lot for me to get excited about certain things anyway. And just this entire concept in general of being excited for the sole purpose that two guys that use the same suit are going to be in the same room together. It, like, There isn't. I'm sure it's going to happen because they'll probably make a big deal about this and do some sort of big long line photo op thing with Austin and Yu Yu Hakusho. That's what we're calling him now.
But I don't want it in my photo with ASJ. Can you just stand over there?
So I'm sure they're probably going to do something.
There's no way.
Nothing's confirmed about it yet. Like,
you'll probably bail.
There's nothing actually saying, yeah, we're going to get these two guys to stand next to each other for a photo op. Like, that's actually hasn't been said yet, as far as I'm aware.
You know, the level of excitement people have for this is the level of excitement I had when they announced RJ.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, a majority of the guests they've been getting, because I've enjoyed the last couple of Morphicons, but with the exception of a few guests, it was essentially like Saban era fest. Mm-hmm. And so it was like seeing the same people over and over again, which, don't get me wrong, there's some really great people to meet, but I really wanted to meet people from the Disney half, because that's like a lot of my favorite half. So the fact that we've gotten so many from this year, that was what got me excited, is I thought it was monumental that we're actually getting the people from the New Zealand seasons to come over here. That was more exciting than Yu Yu Hakusho and his little chins. But there's something else I was going to say about it, and I forgot. Oh, I really want them to get Robert Baldwin if they're going to be doing this. He said he wanted to go if they would get him.
I know, and if they're willing to pay Yu Yu Hakusho to come down.
And he speaks English. We don't even know if this Yu Yu guy spells.
We know he's Yu Yu.
Whatever, it's just shorthand. But that would be awesome, because not only do I love Ramirez, but he expressed interest in it, and he's kind of like, it's like this weird, seems like a really good bridge between the two for some reason. Because he's a Sentai Ranger, but he's white. I don't know, like, just after his interview, it'd just be really cool to meet him. And what about, remember my favorite Marvelous rival, Bosco? He speaks English too.
Get Marvelous rival.
Like, apparently speaking English is a requirement. But I don't know, it just seems like it's easier, because if this guy doesn't speak English, it's gonna be tough. Especially with like all the American fans like lining up for some shallow fapping. And like 60% of the people excited are probably have never even seen G Ranger and are solely excited because it's Sentai.
I feel like a lot of it is that. I mean, now G Ranger is completely subbed, so a lot of people having watched it is understandable, but I'm honestly curious how many people are excited about this just purely because of the whole same person deal, or just because it's, oh my god, they got a Sentai person there. Because I feel like a lot of that is sort of kind of feeding off the energy of that. And
yeah.
It's kind of a silly reason.
I just think it's funny that they get the first Sentai actor ever there, and it's from my most hated season. Like, it's like in the movie or a TV show where it's like a Wish episode, but the Wishes always have a twist. Like, that's what it feels like.
Basically.
But, yeah. We'll be in Kim Crossman's line instead.
Yeah. Because if... I don't really... I'm not going to stand in line for him, honestly. I mean, if Mr. S gets permission to do, like, an interview with him or something and I have to be there, fine. But yeah, I'm not going to actually spend my time standing in line for him. I don't like G-Ranger at all. So
it was the worst.
It really was. But complaining about different things now. okay, let's talk about the good things first. Comic-Con happened.
We got to see Saba, and it's beautiful.
We talked about some certain other non-PR related Comic-Con stuff later on. And after everything kind of wraps up, we might talk a little bit about some things next week, maybe. But focusing on PR right now, there was the Bandai booth, and of course, there was some new stuff on display. So we finally actually have prototypes for Saba and Tiger Zord.
They're so pretty.
And both look great. Apparently the fandom has decided to make Legacy Morpher a unit of measurement. And the Saba is 8.5 legacy morphers long, so it's I think it's a hair under 2 feet long or something like that. So it's a pretty, maybe it's a little over 2 feet. I don't remember what it was exactly, but it's a pretty hefty size, and it looks great. It looks better than the prop.
Yeah, it does. Both the bat and the dragon dagger do, but I'm like super excited for it. And the Tiger Zord looks awesome also.
It does. And there's nothing against the old Tiger Zord toy. It's pretty solid, but having a kind of newer age plastic with Zord Builder capabilities and just something a little bit new and more modern in terms of build and everything, I think is really exciting because I've mentioned it on Twitter multiple times. I really like Die Ranger's mecha. So having a Tiger Zord that's like new, updated, and really cool looking excites me a lot because I really do love the Tiger Zord. And so I hope the Thunder Zords. I was hoping we would get confirmation about a Thunder Zords set.
Here's the thing. I'm like 100% sure we're going to get him eventually. But people keep making this joke about we're going to get the Falcon Zord next. I get the joke, Tommy Fapping. But I doubt we're going to get that first. It doesn't make any sense. They would probably release something next that's compatible with the previous product they released.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense to have the Falcon Zord. I mean, there's a good chance we'll see Season 3 stuff. But, I mean, it doesn't make sense since outside of Zord Builder stuff, he wouldn't be directly compatible with the other Zords, whereas the Thunder Zord Assault Team and the Red Dragon Thunder Zord would. Mm-hmm. So it just – I don't know. I get the joke about it, but it's getting kind of old. Like the Falcon Zord will be first.
Like, what good would a Legacy Falcon Zord even be right now?
It would make that noise.
It could, like, Zord Builder attached to something, and that's about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it wouldn't make a solid combination. And most of the people that buy the Legacy items don't really have a whole lot of Zord Builder stuff.
Yeah.
So
it would make more sense to have some that could combine.
The Zord Builder functionality being in the Legacy line is more or less just because they used the 2010 Megazord for the Legacy Megazord.
It just uses the same ports, which is why I don't get the people that says it taints it. Like, if it had a bunch of ports sticking off of it and it looked like it got acupunctured with Zord Builder, I get it. But all they're doing is just using the same port for everything, which is not a big deal.
Yeah, there's no visible Zord Builder port on the Legacy Dragon Zord that is a hindrance.
So. People are being so dumb about it. And we also got the new item, which is the Legacy Movie Morpher White Ranger version, which comes with a Tiger Coin and a Falcon Coin.
Fuck them.
I'm excited. I like the idea of having a Movie Morpher.
I think what... Well,
we've never gotten it before, except for the McDonald's one. Doesn't count.
Is that I want the Ninja Coins really bad. And so now either I'm going to have one and not the other five, or they're fucking going to make me buy six individual goddamn colored morphers.
I can't imagine they do that. Coins. I kind of hope they do, like, this morpher and then, like, a set of the other five. That would be nice.
Dad, I would be okay with that in the end run.
Unless there's some sort of way they could change the faceplates on it to the different colors, but it just seems kind of – I don't know how they're going to do it. But I'm excited at the idea because I like the Legacy line a lot, and I like having these really updated collector's versions of things. But this is something we've never gotten before in any form. Like I said, outside of that McDonald's morpher, which is sitting there. I'm looking at it right now, and – doesn't quite hold up. Just being honest.
Yeah. But I can't say I'm excited about it, but I don't mind it existing. I'll probably end up getting it mostly because PR stuff gets such massive hits that I kind of just buy everything PR related anyway. And like you said, we have no sort of version of this. And, it does look neat. If I had a choice between which color to get, I would not get white. But it's Tommy, so it's the one we're going to get, obviously. So, I guess we'll see what happens if they do other colors
or faceplates or
like
something.
Like a set or something like that. Stickers, I don't fucking know. But we'll see. But at the end of the line, I just want to have all of the Ninja Coins. That's all I ask.
I guess they're going to have White Ranger figure. I was thinking maybe they'll come with the movie figures. That'd be cool.
Oh, I didn't think about that. I would actually approve of that.
But I was kind of hoping we'd get a look at those, since they're in the system and everything.
Yeah, I was. Now I'm kind of sad. I forgot about
it. Now Brian's like sad. Well, now I'm just gonna brood.
I guess because it's all new molds and everything, most likely. So they're probably still trying to engineer the goddamn things. But
yeah, but I'm excited still. Like, I don't know if the line will ever go past MMPR, but it'll take a while since it was 3 years. At least we're moving past season one.
That makes me happy. At least we don't have to deal with Dragonzords and Dinozords and everything.
Now the real fun.
We did get the Morphicon exclusive.
Oh yeah, Wolf Ranger and Titanium Ranger keys.
It's such a weird combo.
Yeah, the only thing that really connects them is apparently you said they were in the final matchup, and that the fact that both dudes are going to be in Morphicon.
Yeah, that's really about it. That's all that's connecting them. Is that apparently?
I think it should have been that with the Spirit Rangers, Titanium with the Spirit, or the Spirit Rangers with the Jungle Fury, because fuck Titanium Ranger. I'm so sick of hearing about that little douchebag. But that would have made more sense. It would have been kind of a cool set to have the Spirit Rangers and stuff. Like, it just seems so strange. Like, there were the two things we mentioned that are sort of connectors, but still, that's a very odd choice.
Yeah, it was Wolf Ranger and Titanium in the final for that bracket. So, I mean, it ties them together, and I guess it makes sense at the end of the day, but I really would have liked a Titanium and Spirit Ranger set. Just get the four U.S. exclusives in a set together. It would have been kind of neat, but...
Yeah. I doubt there will be, but it would be really cool if there was another Morphicon exclusive, just because we knew there was going to be a Ranger key because of the sound, but... Yeah. I'm so sick of Ranger keys. I'm about to, like, throw up Ranger keys. So, like, I wanted something... Like, the last year's exclusive was just kind of okay, but at least it was a figure and not a Ranger key.
Yeah.
So I was kind of hoping for something neat like that. I doubt it, but it would be neat.
Speaking of Ranger keys...
Ugh.
Apparently, according... I'm still waiting for actual, like, confirmation about this, because it's all up in the air. Everything we're talking about is all like a he said she said with the Bandai reps, and their track record of being like truthful is very minimum. So I'm waiting for someone to actually have like an interview with someone that's not just a floor rep for Bandai to see what's actually going on. But according to one of the reps on the floor, there's more Ranger keys coming out in fall, and it's going to focus on basically everyone we don't have yet, all the females, all the six Rangers and stuff, which, I mean, I'm all for whatever. If you can get me a full set of keys, fine, just give me them so we can end this.
I know, just end it.
And one, I just really want a display of all of the peoples.
They should have done it with the main line, though. Like, I feel like this is going to bleed into Dino Charge.
Well, if my count was right, there's like 53-ish people that are confirmed to have key prototypes made that aren't out. So I could easily just say, you know, do a 30-key set and a 30-key set. Sell them as a Toys R Us exclusive, call it a day. That's what I personally would do, but...
Because it'll take a while to release all those the way they've been doing it.
Yeah, there's so many options and so little information.
Because I was hoping... Because Bandai of America works different than Japan, because Japan is still holding on to Ranger keys.
Yeah, in fact, the Curator Dayboth keys just came out.
Oh, kill me now.
Today.
But, And I was hoping, because we don't really do that, I was hoping that once Dino Charge was here, we would be done. Like, we're not like Japan, where we hang on to Gaia memories or Ranger keys forever. So, and it's not necessarily I'm opposed to having all of them, it's just between Gokaiger and Super Mega Force, it's just like with Samurai, it's just such oversaturation, and it's not a cool enough gimmick to keep me excited for this long. And they should have done it earlier in the line. Why didn't they stick with the blind pack thing and just have all the girls in the six in the blind pack or the single packs or something?
I don't know.
Why don't they just stop Just stop. Just everything. Just stop. I just don't want to see Ranger Keys again, Brian. Like I told, it's like that evil doll you throw out of your house and you walk back in and it's still there. But there's like 100 of them.
They're there.
I don't even activate any new sounds. Just do over and over again. Okay, you're gonna calm down.
I wouldn't calm down too much because now we have the fun part.
Here we go.
Okay.
This is where the fun begins. So,
of course, they want to like go, hey, here's our new show coming up. Yay. And so on display was the red Dino Charge Ranger figure, which actually looks pretty cool. If the retail one is as nice looking as that one was, then we're in for some pretty good figures. Not that the ones that they're releasing right now are like really missing a whole lot of detail or anything. Ninja Storm
they're
was
pretty
really
solid.
The fuck up.
Yeah, there's a couple like random lemons, but for the most part they're pretty solid. Miss, of course, not having a cape.
Yeah.
SPD kind of looked like someone waxed his face, but for the most part they're solid little figures.
Yeah. So that looked pretty good. We have the Morpher, the Dino Charge Morpher, I guess is what they're calling it.
Which looks pretty good.
It looks pretty good. There's a lot of black paint missing, but at the end of the day, that doesn't bother me a whole lot.
It's not like super apparent. Like when you first see it, you're not like.
It's a little bit on the bottom and on the handle, but I mean, when you're holding it, you don't see the handle anyway. And a lot of it, you could probably just, if it really bothers you, just get some black paint. And they're really big areas. It's not like it would be hard to do or detail or anything like that.
Like, it's kind of like most of the ones now where it's missing some things, but it's not something that as soon as you see it, it's like, it looks like naked.
Yeah.
So it's not that big a deal. And it does have the orange tips, but they kind of fit in with the overall kind of colorfulness of it.
Yeah, I think they look okay. It blends in well with the yellow decently enough, and it's not that big of a deal. Again, if the orange bothers you, just get
it
silver
looks,
paint and go around.
It looks like the gun caught a cold.
He does. He blew his nose.
His nose. I could totally see the guy with revolver getting a cold being a character plot. I don't know why, but like it just seemed like it would happen.
Missed opportunities. But the biggest thing,
Gabutira's vajayjay.
The Dino Chargers were on display. The main five. They're a little. I feel like they're a little bit taller, honestly. But it could just be the camera. But they are a little bit smaller.
They look good though. They don't have numbers on them, but
which doesn't really bother me a whole lot.
That'll freak Kevin out. Don't tell him. He'll start panicking.
And the backs, obviously since we're not calling them like Parasagan and stuff, they're probably just going to be like the kind of like
Parasite Gun. Parasite Gun.
That was a really weird part of that movie.
Well, this picture of the backs just says the dinosaur names.
I'm excited to have a battery that says Paracephalosaurus or whatever the, the actual name of that dinosaur is, because it's really long and weird looking. And Tyrannosaurus Rex being written on the back of one
instead of just Tyrannosaurus.
But that's for kids can learn dinosaur names now. Those look fine, but the biggest thing was the Megazord from way back when. The licensing expo happened, and we had the screenshots of the video from Ranger Crew. The Kyuryugen in there had a purple Triceratops arm, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, what's the guy do? And someone's like, oh, it could be this green, it could be this, it could be that. Well, the prototype was on display, and Triceratops was indeed purple. Apparently, someone at Toku Nation asked them why it was changed, and the rep, mind you, like I said before, the reps on the floor sometimes might not even work for Bandai per se. They're hired to work the floor.
They're booth babes.
They're kind of, except ugly men. And so you never really know who they are, really, and what their relationship with Bandai is, whether they work for them or not. And just how informed they are is kind of up in the air. And so keep that in mind. Their answer was it was changed because it's a boy's toy. And which it's kind of weird to me for the simple fact that they changed it to purple, which is, I mean, both of the Purple Rangers are or were male before Yayoi took over and Kyoryuger. But instinctually, I feel like most people perceive purple generally as like an alternate girl's color. A lot of girls' toys and shirts come in like pink and purple. I mean, of course, purple has like a general kind of feel of royalty and stuff, so it's still very...
It's a lot less apparent than pink, though. Like, it's a bright pink. It is really kind of, like, it's right there. So if they did change it for that, but it's kind of close to blue, so it kind of is weird, too.
Yeah, it's a very, at least the pictures that we're looking at, it's a very blue-purple.
So there's not very many directions they could go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like you said, we don't know a whole lot of information right now. But I'm going to go with my gut and saying that I don't think that they're going to change it back to pink. Just because I could be proven wrong. But most of the cases when we see prototypes that are missing paint, it's just that it's missing paint. I've never seen one, from Bandai at least, where it's outright a different color. Because I think like the early Gokaio and maybe Gosei Great were like just mispainted a little bit. And they looked better when they came out. But they never had like outright different color. Like you didn't see the snake being gray or blue being green or something. Like, it was never outright a different color.
Yeah.
I
agree. I think it's probably going to end up like that. Maybe if enough people bitch a whole lot, they might. But I don't see the thing about this is. The fact that regardless of whether a rep says it or Bandai themselves release like a press statement that says it, unless they actually say like they have actual market research that like flat out says that the boys reacted better to having a purple Triceratops than a pink Triceratops, then people are always going to throw the card that's currently being thrown around. Yeah.
Sexism.
Here we go.
You're not going to the digital world?
No.
Alright, I guess we're doing this.
I can see segments of the argument, but at the end of the day, it's a toy, and... The thing is that the whole sexism thing is being tossed around for every which thing in today's society. I mean, we had the Kyoryuger from way back when Kyoryuger started.
Before Yayoi happened.
The director was like, "Your yellow is a very... girl color." Is that what he said? I don't fucking remember.
It's a very girl color.
So they said that they were going for a team that represented strength. Uh-huh. And because yellow is often seen as a color that is feminine nowadays, that they thought it wouldn't seem masculine enough. So they decided to get rid of it.
And okay, there you go. So that was one thing that that happened. The Ranger Key issue with all the guys being released and not a whole bunch of girl keys.
What's gonna happen to Adam with all this girl key six ranger business? Adam, the unreleased key.
Poor Adam. So that sparked a whole lot of wildfire. With the whole sexism debate and even outside of the realm of like Toku and Power Rangers, the Assassin's Creed issue. There was that one article I read about how the girl Spider-Man toys at McDonald's were sexist. And I personally, I, regardless of how you feel on the subject, I feel like it's being thrown around so much now that the entire sort of mental idea of sexism is kind of morphed, in pun intended, into something kind of completely different for what it's supposed to be. It's now every single thing that is more or less just flat out catering to their target market so that they can make the most money, because they're a business. That's the point of a business. And that's all they're doing. I don't think Bandai's walking around here purposely trying to offend women everywhere by catering to their biggest selling target demographic. And I personally feel like they probably do have some sort of marketing research, at least to back up their reasoning. And me and Dawson were talking about it yesterday. The fact that if you look at the Power Rangers toy line from beginning to now, it'll be a steady decrease in like the girls' merchandise as the years went on, to where we are now, where there's very little. But it wasn't like all of a sudden on the turn of a dime they're like no more girls ever. It was a very, from the beginning to now, it was a very casual thing until the past couple of years, and so it's not like it was some sort of sudden thing. And looking at their marketing research, I'm sure they kind of figure they'll look the girls ones don't sell as much, so let's... Well,
I mean, color psychology, it's a very common thing in marketing. Every company out there uses it. Mm-hmm. Whether it's apparent or not, it just happens to be a little bit more apparent with Saban, because
Power Rangers are so bright.
Yeah, well, like, they deal with colors. So.
They're in the business of colors. We're in the color business now.
Yeah.
That's not a problem. But yeah, we talked about all that yesterday, and there was kind of just a steady decrease of girl toys, and they just don't sell as well. And I get where people are coming from, and that, you know, they want their daughters or girls, or the girls themselves want more toys, but it's like, I get Bandai's point too, and like you said, I don't think they're trying to upset people. They're just catering to their target demographic, which everything does. Every TV show and food product and toy and has some sort of target. And they're obviously, they try to sometimes hit outside, but they mainly target their certain audience. Just like, I'm going to use soap operas as an example. I've made numerous references. I'll watch them on occasion. They mainly target women. And just because they show more shirtless men than shirtless women, I'm not about to go on a tirade on Twitter, because I realize they're targeting women. But I'm still watching it. I'm just saying, there's certain things that are targeted towards certain people, and I don't have a problem with that. And the only reason that the Triceratops would make me upset was because of the non-show accuracy, and not because of the sexism, or the supposed sexism. Because when looking at it, when we first saw the Curator thing, my eyes immediately go to the pink. And so I get it, in the sense that even before, if they did any marketing research, seeing it and thinking this might put some boys off. And I could see that. It's not like a – I'm not trying to make it sound like a bad thing, but I can definitely see that point of view. Because it's damn bright, seriously.
Yeah.
But I think we all need to look at the positives, that this gives us an extra guest for the Triceratops wedding.
And another Zord to go on my segregation shelf. I do agree with a sentiment that Brian brought up a little while ago about how the word sexism gets thrown around so much that a lot of the meaning behind the word kind of gets lost in the shuffle. Like, it gets thrown around by the people who are outraged by this, as, you know, sort of an excuse and sort of, just as it's an excuse to be outraged. And I do feel that it gets used so commonly that a lot of people who use it don't really understand sexism that much. They don't really understand a lot of what they're fighting for. On the reverse, on the other side, with the people who kind of mock those other people, I think, unfortunately, sexism becomes a joke. And I hate to see that happen. I really do, because sexism is a real thing. And I think when it does legitimately happen, it can be a serious issue. Unfortunately, because we have idiots in our society who don't quite understand sexism, it ends up being a joke and people don't really take it that seriously. And I'm not saying that people should take all of these claims of sexism seriously. It does kind of sadden me when I see people that I do legitimately like on Twitter kind of make fun of the very idea of sexism. It disappoints me. 'Cause it's sad. It's sad that people out there are so eager to jump down the throats of, you know, whatever, just to, you know, be outraged at a freaking color. you know, this somewhat serious topic is kind of not so serious anymore.
I think that's kind of my biggest thing about the entire argument, is that it, like you said, it is a very riddle.
When the Riddler get here. Jim Carrey?
It's a very real thing that happens every day to so many people, and to take such a heavy and real concept and to be throwing it around at a bunch of plastic toys over, like I said, what's essentially catering to a target audience, I think that's what gets me the most, is that it's... If this, the idea of sexism, and you understand everything about it, is so such a deal to you, look into the actual real cases of sexism that are happening every day, and focus your energy of justice toward that, and not worried about the children's toys that have different colored triceratops. At the end of the day, it's just really stupid to waste so much energy and apparent maybe false passion about this real topic in regards to a little tiny dinosaur.
Like, some of the tweets, or I don't follow most of the people that get outraged by it, because I would probably just want to punch them. But most of the retweets I see, because I get a lot of retweets, though, from people I do follow, and they elevate it to as if this should be the topic in the next presidential election. Like, it's not that big a deal in terms of, like, the actual issue. And I'll admit, I'm kind of a dick about the whole thing and make jokes about it. Just because it's, like you guys said, it gets thrown around so much to the point where I feel like people can't do anything with girls in media without it being called sexist. Like, I saw somebody calling it sexist because Gia said that she heard Jake was cute. I'm like, are we not allowed to be attracted to the opposite sex anymore? Is that offensive? Like, it's just every move somebody makes, someone will find it to be offensive. Yeah. And that annoys me. It's like, why? Why, people?
I'm all for poking fun at a situation. I do it all the time. You know, that's fighting, you know, being kind of lighter about the situation isn't really a problem so much as when it, you know, continues and persists and it gets to the point where it's like, okay, you can probably stop now, which I'm not saying you do, because I don't think you do. I don't think you reach that point, despite how much you think you take your jokes too far. I do see
challenge accepted. No, I'm just kidding.
I do see a lot of people on Twitter who just who seem to be so adamant about being against those people who, you know, scream sexism that it then becomes a problem. Yeah, that probably makes me sound really hypocritical, but I understand where I'm coming from.
I like how you go on both sides. You know how to sit on a fence.
Well, I can understand making light of an issue. I really do, because sometimes you just kind of need to do that. But at the same time, you know, there is such a thing as going too far and maybe just being a little too, I don't know, adamant about arguing against something.
This fandom has that a lot. Yeah. On both sides of the fence. Both, I mean, to me, honestly, I think both sides of the fence are taking this really far in both directions. The It's Sexist group is just like every single thing that they can point out that is even a normal practice that they can consider slightly demeaning to females is automatically sexist. And then on the other hand, you've got all the people that just are like, you're stupid, or men rule, or I don't know. I don't see too many.
I haven't seen anyone go men rule.
I've never seen that either. I'm sure someone probably has, but I don't actually follow too many people that I'm aware of. I might have missed some tweets in the shuffle that are on the extreme. Your sexist claims are stupid side of the fence. There's a couple people I know, but it's stronger, at least on my Twitter feed, it's stronger on the everything is sexism side.
Everything is sexism!
That song isn't as catchy.
No, it's not.
But yeah, that basically is the point I was trying to get across. Said a little better than I could have. The problem lies in the extremes. You know, going too far one side or too far the other. You know,
there's not enough middle here. like at least judging just based on like my Twitter feed and what little forum thing I actually read. I didn't read a whole lot for any of this. I always just saw extremes. There was very few people that were just like, okay, it is what it is. Whatever. Like, everyone always just had a side, and I'm sitting here going, I don't agree with either of you, really. I don't think it's sexist by any means, but I don't think you're in the right to say the things that they're saying about the other side of the fence, but I guess at the end of the day, I just don't really give a shit.
Like, don't even care.
They changed the color of the Triceratops. I don't like it because it's not show accurate, and show accuracy to me actually isn't a huge deal as long as the toy is fun. Like missing paint details or changing the design a little bit, I'm okay with. But to be so drastic as to fully change the color bothers me in terms of show accuracy. What the rep said, or what Bandai might be thinking, or the reasoning to why they changed the color, or the fact that they even changed the color at the core really doesn't bother me.
Who knows? They could end up changing it back, and this could all be a really dumb story in the end. But
it could be. You never really know, and I don't see why this always continuously has to be a thing. But
yeah,
it will be.
It is, and like I said, it was in the PR fandom, and now it just kind of keeps popping up everywhere, and I'm just sitting here going, I don't want to say fight for a better cause, because it's not the phrasing I actually am looking for, but to
pick your battles?
Kind of. put your energy in a battle worth fighting for. Like, to a segment of the concept of sexism to a point that matters. Don't sit here and continuously rage a war over apparent sexism in a plastic toy. Do it in a facet that actually can matter in life. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at out of words.
I would say just think things through, maybe. <Yeah. laughs>
Be the charge you want to see in the world. Get it? Because of Dino Charge?
You're a clever little bitch.
That was Gandhi. I'm like, no, it wasn't. It was Michael Scofield. Did you watch Prison Break? God.
But to sum things up, Mike Crane Shogun Zord is pink. Live strong.
Live strong. I'm just picturing when Michael was making a paper yellow bracelet because Kevin might have skin cancer. So everything. The bottom line is actually everything ties back to The Office.
To sum things up for me, that bitch is wearing purple proud.
The color purple is the alternate title of this episode.
Does Dory Kara have a gender? I don't really know. It is wearing it proud and rocking it. Like a true Barney-esque Triceratops.
That dinosaur pulled off pink. Now it's going to rock some purple.
It's so badass it has two colors. Triceratops is like, fuck you guys, I'm every color ever. Just keep releasing the Triceratops in different colors.
Eventually we'll just have one Megazord made up entirely of the Triceratops.
I'm game.
I'm waiting for the camo Triceratops, personally. It's gonna be awesome.
Oh no, I feel like I would keep losing it.
That's good. Well, now that we had our heavy political discussion part of the show, the show can go anywhere.
This is gonna be a long one this week.
I guess now it's time for
superhero time.
Yay! Thank you.
Oh, sorry, I interrupted you.
No, I was just gonna. I didn't know whether you were gonna do it or not.
Oh.
But you didn't. I thank you.
You're welcome, Brian.
That was such a lovely exchange.
This is the civility corner of RRR. We just covered some very very tense topics, and now we're going to be very polite to one another. Well, first up is Tokyuger, episode Who Gives a Fuck?
20-something.
My favorite.
20, it's 21, 22, something like that. 21, I think.
Yeah, it's 21. Does someone else want to start this off? Because I can't for the life of me remember what this episode was about.
Okay, I'll do it. For whatever reason, Toei was like, you know, let's do a body switch episode again, because we do that every fucking year. And then they also thought, you know, we're getting into that, you know, middle season point where something really exciting is supposed to happen. You know, let's kind of start that arc with the whole wedding thing in the body switch episode that is usually a bunch of shit. So you've got this body switch episode, which, like, for the first time in a while that I can remember in Sentai, even if at all, that this usually goofy-ass body switch episode is the start of the middle season, like, climax thing. Yeah. And it's weird because the concept of Tokyuger having, like, a mid-season climax in the first place, because nothing has happened in the show. It's kind of funny, but
typically Sentai, you know, has a bit of a lull during the middle, but Tokyuger decided to change it up and have its lull right off the bat.
Like, let's get the shit out of the way first.
Let's get this started. You know what? Let's never end it. Let's just have the lull the whole time.
I will say that despite the fact that I normally hate body switching episodes, I didn't mind the episode. I don't particularly want to say that it was great, but in terms of Tokyuger episodes, it was probably one of the better ones. Not that we've had a whole lot of excellence, but we got a little bit more on the whole where do we live, what the fuck were we doing. I still think they're supposed to be kids, but That'll happen eventually, maybe.
Or they're dead.
Every single fucking flashback is them as kids. We've never had a flashback of them any older. Or a flashback of them at their current age. And the whole imagination pretending that they're older. I feel like that could be a thing. But regardless, so something about festivals and shit. It wasn't anything spectacular, but the whole wedding thing, Greta's trying to run away and she wanted boobs, so she became Mio. I don't know. that was my reasoning. She wanted to run away and get a boob job, so she became Mio.
My assumption was that she just really didn't want to go through with the wedding and
that's what actually happened.
Brian's version's funnier though. I'm just so weirded out by this plot of this fat pug having to marry this Kira Kira creep, but she's having a sort of affair with Schwartz. Like, it's so weird. I don't know, honestly it bothers me, but it's just weird.
Tokyo in general is kind
of
weird.
It's just kind of a strange plot to have. Like, I didn't expect it to take this turn, and this is like the saddest mid-season climax of all time. It's like so boring.
Like, I don't know. I'll wait and see what happens. I don't want to say something like it could get interesting and then have it not, because chances are that's probably what's going to happen. But I'm really hoping that there's a turnaround after this midpoint. I really hope so, because I want to like the show. They're just not giving me a whole lot to work with here. The body switching aspects of this episode were just kind of the normal fare, really.
Yeah.
But there was a couple. I like the fact that they actually went as far as to switch clothes and turn into the right color. And then have that stupid little hat on. The thing I like most was when Akira transformed, he kept his hard hat for no apparent reason whatsoever. Other than everyone else has a hat, I want a hat too.
He had to make sure he could tell himself apart.
Oh yeah, you didn't want to get confused. I'm like, what the fuck, which one am I? And right when everyone switched back to normal bodies, he took the hat off.
Yeah, that was kind of odd. I typically enjoy a body switch episode as long as it's done well. This one was done fairly average. I wouldn't say the body switching gimmick was too stupid, aside from the fact that the monster was soap based. So why?
I don't know.
But
what haven't we done? Soap. Got
but
it.
I generally get a kick out of the actors trying to act like the other characters.
I'll admit they did a really good job.
Yeah, they did. They actually did end up pulling off the other characters fairly well. I wish that Sentai. And this isn't really a problem with Tokuger so much as it is just something that the franchise insists on doing, is not switching the voices.
I know, that's really... I feel like that's more work.
Yeah, it is.
Because now they have to either mouth or you speak and then they have to rip the audio out. Their lines to get replaced by the correct person's voice. And while it was never really overly annoying in this, because they matched it up really well, I think. I don't get the reasoning. Like, just have the normal. Because I mean, if for whatever goddamn voodoo reason we switched bodies, our voices wouldn't go with our soul juice. This is why I'm not allowed to talk at 3 in the morning.
Soul juice? Oh, wow. I don't know.
Anyway, my point is that our voices wouldn't change.
Yeah.
Because voices are tied to your vocal cords.
I actually thought that same thing about Takati being in Hikari's body, but, like, taking his glasses with him. And then I thought, what if Takati just doesn't need the glasses? What if it's just something he does?
I don't know. I don't remember if they've ever referenced, like, him not being able to see without them. I don't remember. But, yeah, that... maybe he's just nuts. Does Kid Takati have glasses? I don't remember.
Yeah, I think he does.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. I really don't have too much to say about the episode one way or the other. The body switching thing was, as we already stated, fairly average. It was amusing for what it was. The overall episode just, it kind of boring. I mean, it is what it is. I sounded a little more hostile when I was introducing the episode, but no, it's okay.
Yeah, it's a thing.
I never watched last week's. It wasn't up for me when we talked about it, and based on what everyone said, I'm like, I don't think it's worth it.
I don't remember what happened.
There was a cat in it, I heard.
Oh yeah, the kitty.
I could just hear Brian's cat noises over the phone, and I was like, I'm good. Okay, well, should we move on to something that actually matters?
Yes, please.
Okay, so it's that guy.
There was a lot of garbage in this episode. You can think, I'm sorry I've forgotten your screen name. Someone sent me that joke over Twitter. I thought it was amusing.
Thank you, unknown screen name.
It happened to be Trash Day.
It was a...
Do they have a trash day? I mean, the city's overrun with monsters. Do they?
They're the only people in the city. They're just like piling up garbage outside of their place. his Twitter handle was Tommy Lou. Thank you for that joke that I stole.
So nice about it. He immediately admits it afterwards. But yeah, so Gaim's back, and this episode, actually for the first time in a long time, I feel like saying, or I've been able to say, it felt more like a setup episode, meaning that it's kind of setting up Coda having to make a decision about Michi, which, to be honest, I'm a little bit annoyed at this point, because I understood Coda not wanting to give up on Michi before, because he just found out it was a shock. But at this point, he's killed his brother. And there's just no coming back from that. And I sort of got his logic with, if I give up on him, then he'll have no one. Which is a really nice thought. But Michi's a psychopath. And I just really want Coda to be against him. And I kind of feel like I'm Kaido trying to convince him of that.
Yeah. Well, I kind of see it as, you know, we had that scene between him and Kaido where Kaido kind of confronted him and said that Coda really doesn't know what he wants or anything like that. So that's kind of how I'm justifying it for the time being, is that Coda really doesn't know what he's going to do or what he wants to do about this. He's kind of confused, which makes sense for his character. I mean, he's kind of been that way for the majority of the series.
Yeah, it's just, I've never really been frustrated with him that much till this episode. And we mentioned before, it's also because our perspective is different, because we've seen Michi. And, like, Coda's not seeing him evilly laughing with glee about having killed his brother. So, it's just frustrating. But it seemed like this episode was sort of setting up, whether it's next episode or not, that Coda's going to have to make a decision about Michi. And then apparently his life also. I kind of forgot there was a sub, because he's like, you don't even know what you're going to do after all this. And I forgot there was like a subplot at the beginning where Koda's trying to find a job, and then he just got severely distracted by all this writer stuff. And then poor Pico took a beating. Whoever the hell Pico is. Not Pico. He was my favorite guy with the funny name. No, that's not right. It's Rat. But yeah, Michi came to get Mai, and he was not very nice about it. And I like Aerosol even posted the thing earlier. It was like, oh, you're just being unreasonable.
Yeah, he's so caught up in his lie, in all of his lies, that he believes that he's right, and everyone else is delusional. You know, When the series first started, we always made mention of the fact that Michi was kind of creepy. This to me, his dialogue in these past few episodes, where like I said a while back, he seems so culty about everything that he's doing. He's a lot creepier to me now than he was even back then, because he's just, like, very calmly talking to Mai and trying to persuade her. And no matter how much she, like, screams and cries and, like, tries to get him to do anything else, he's just like, no, don't worry. You're just being irrational, you know? we'll take care of that. Just come on.
And he's got that creepy grin the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, in the beginning, it was more... like subtle facial expressions. Like, it was very subtle at the beginning, where he switched really well between yay dancing to like this really weird look that made you think, whoa, this is like a peppermint situation, where the guy's drawing deer pictures of Jess. What else? I just lost something. What I was going to say. And how he just kind of talks to Koda in general now, too, about how when he was talking about how Mai's one of the chosen ones, yeah, and Koda's not because he's gutter trash or whatever he said. like, that sounds just creepy in general, this idea of him having chosen ones. He sounds like a really evil version of Noah's Ark. it's just disturbing. And, he beat, or essentially beat Baron and Gaim in a fight, which for a second I was like, it kind of bothers me, because isn't Kiwami supposed to be really strong? But then I realized that Kota's like really holding back.
Yeah.
It bothered me at first just because Zangetsu took him on last week and he had a lesser driver, but he was holding back. Koda has been holding back.
Yeah, it's a combination of the others kind of holding back, maybe not so much Kaido, but definitely Koda. But also what Kaido mentioned at the end of the episode, where Michi has pretty much given up that last little shred of remorse and doubt and stuff like that. He's completely, like, you know, dedicated to what he's doing now. There's no more, like, nothing holding him back at all. So... I it's kind of a silly reason, but for Kamen Rider, I will kind of make an excuse for it.
Yeah. Well, and it makes sense that Koda wouldn't win if he's holding back. And Kaido's attention was kind of shifted to trying to motivate Koda / try to make sure he doesn't get killed because he's not fighting right. That's the impression I got. So Kaido's complete focus wasn't on the battle.
Yeah. I do have to say, regardless of whether or not he could realistically stand up to the two of them, him catching the Mango Punisher and then batting away Kaido's arrow in one swift movement was really badass.
Yeah, it was. I'm like, holy shit, Michi. it's badass. McLovin? Michi's like the evil version of McLovin. I just had an epiphany. No.
Speaking of
McLovin. Sorry.
Yeah. no, speaking of that, like, last shred of humanity that Michi had, the whole Takatora thing.
He's imagining him.
Yeah.
And when even Redaway's like, the fuck?
When I first heard that, you know, that was going to be happening, that he was going to be having visions of Takatora, I don't want to say hesitant, because I don't really doubt Gaim anymore, but it did seem kind of strange to me. But I think they pulled it off to, like, really great effect. It's basically kind of all of that doubt that Michi still has, that last remaining little bit where it's sort of eating away at him. It's his... I don't want to necessarily say that it's his conscience, but it is, in a sense.
Yeah. On some level, he has to feel guilty.
Yeah. It's basically, you know, just him talking to himself. He's just, you know, imagining it as Takatora. And I love every scene that, you know, that happened, because it's, you can just see Michi's going crazy. I mean, he's already kind of crazy already. It's just now he's losing it even more, to where he's seeing things and he's talking to himself, and his own mind is telling him, hey, you're kind of fucked up, maybe you should probably quit this.
His own mind is like, you should call a doctor.
But I like that the you know, imaginary Takatora actually said, you know, one day even that girl is going to get in your way, and you're just, you know, even she has a shelf life, essentially.
Yeah.
It's his own personal Jiminy Cricket. And this Takatora is going to have a hat and umbrella.
You know, the way that he looked in that one Garo movie, I can totally picture him as Jiminy Cricket now.
And, you know, it was kind of, I don't want to say disturbing is too strong of a word, but I guess so. And right before he envisioned Takatora, when he was talking to Redaway, and he's like talking about how he felt about killing his brother, and Michi was like, had this creepy sort of smile, and he was talking about how he's finally free. It was just kind of disturbing. I feel like that's a really strong word, but just like his whole demeanor in that scene.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Michi sort of has that shred of guilt, but at the same time, I think he's genuinely kind of happy about this. He's such a freak. He's just, like, seriously, he's so fucked up. It's, like, fascinating to think about it, the way his mind is working.
I really enjoyed watching him go nuts.
Earlier, when I was watching this on Sunday, it was like, I was sitting here going, I didn't think it was possible for him to get even more messed up. And every time I say that, he does something to make it worse.
I'm still trying to figure out who taught him to fight in, like, you know, the 2 weeks' time.
Well, he's been fighting for the whole year.
Well, no, but, like...
He gave him a super hard ass. You were talking about the Mango Punisher and shit.
Yeah, like, he went from being, like, little Ryugen, and even when he first got the melon energy, like, he was, dude, like, duh, you look, it's okay, but it should have been kind of obvious sooner that this is not the same guy in the suit as when Takatora was Shinzangetsu. And then all of a sudden, he was like, fuck this, bitch! And, like, he beat up his brother, and now he, like, just totally took on Kiwami and Baron. Like, I get they're holding back, but still, he's going pretty hard on him.
Well, Kaito in the episode said something along the lines of the fact that he's fighting with no...
Is it, like, no doubt, no hesitations?
Yeah, there
he
you go.
He just kind of goes on it.
Apparently that makes you a hard ass.
Does Koda know that Michi is, in a way, like, directly responsible for holding his sister?
No.
Well, that should make him mad. If that doesn't make him mad, I don't know what will.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
You know what I want to see? Because you know the moments I loved throughout the series is when whether it's Takator or just any of the situations Coda faced where it seemed like the odds were still against him and the enemy thought, oh man, we got him. He's just going to give up hope. He's going to lose. And then Coda would just come in there and be like, fuck y'all. I have a DJ gun. And there would just be this great triumphant moment when he came in. And that's what I want to see with Michi, where Michi just sees him as this weakling and he's so indecisive about Michi right now. And I just want to see Coda come in there as the hero and beat Michi. Because I love those moments where Coda is underestimated. And I think that Michi still very much so underestimates Coda in a lot of ways. And I just want to see him win one.
Yeah. I want to see Michi just get his ass handed to him and be like, oh, fuck. I should not have underestimated the little dude with the orange block. That was not cool.
Kaido's rash is spreading.
that's also a thing.
He's starting to grow plants now.
Wait, oh, I forgot about it. Didn't they have that thing at the beginning? Not that, but I mean, early on when the beat writers were being blamed with people like growing plant disease and dying.
Yeah.
That was this show, right?
Yeah, that was the show.
That seems like so long ago. So, yeah. Maybe it's going to be like, you know what it's going to be? Just like the episode where Xander turned into a tree. That's what it's going to be like, guys. Playing Xander.
Like, I love it how Professor Ryoma just kind of shows up back in town and is like, hey,
he's got
guys.
Got a really weird jacket on.
Yeah, I don't get that at all. He's like, hey, guys.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Ryoma, and he, like, mugged Mr. Rogers and took his clothes. Like, what the hell happened? Like, why is he dressed like an old man? I don't know. I totally forgot about him showing up.
That's his retire wear.
He's retired.
That's what he was wearing when he was kicking back in Florida.
And then Florida blew up. And then he got back, like, condo in Florida blew up. And Zach was like, at least it wasn't the beat writers. That's exactly how it went down.
Oh, Lord.
But yeah, there was a little bit of a debate between the characters about whether or not to trust him, which I completely understand pretty much everyone's side. I mean, on one hand, Ryoma's a dick. On the other hand, he's kind of the only way they have into Yggdrasil. So.
Yeah, and it's really unclear what his intentions are, too, because so much of the status quo has changed since his scheming was happening, so I don't think his intentions are pure at all, but
it's Ryoma, so never.
Especially with that outfit.
Also, this is one of the fewer times that I've actually liked Orin, because he's so level-headed in those scenes, because he, as he said, he's a professional at this kind of stuff. He, you know, he's actually talking sense. I actually enjoyed that.
You kind of forget that he was military with all the cakes and fawning over Zangetsu's butt. It all gets lost in the shuffle, you know? But, you know, I've liked him a lot more since... I'm not saying I'm, like, fapping over him like a lot of people are, but I've liked him a lot more since he joined with Team Gaim, because at least he's got a purpose. And I've kind of liked him to be a part of the team, and I still like that he was the one that called Zangetsu being fake. Still waiting on that Greedon thing that's supposed to make us like him. They're running out of time, or Gaim, as it were. So they need to get on that.
I don't think that's going to pan out unless he's like the final hero. He's the one that actually defeats
winner.
The overlords.
Greedon Kiwami Arms becomes the champion.
Yeah, like, he's just kind of there.
Like, if it never happens, I hope there's some sort of interview or something. Like, I just want to know what they meant by that. Because it was one of those things where, like, oh, they got time, they can get to it later, and then it never did happen.
Well, we all know what happened with Zangetsu's the Oja of the series.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, technically, that ended up being true.
That's what I mean.
It just took a while.
And well, a lot of the pre-show summaries were just pretty much you know, weren't true. Which I guess, hey, that's a nice little ruse, kind of threw us off before the show. But it is kind of frustrating, since you kind of do want Greedon to at least have some sort of purpose.
Yeah.
Or at least stand out for something.
His shining moment was becoming a giant melon.
And it falling on him.
That's not his only shining moment. Remember the episode where he cross-dressed?
Well, that was a shining moment.
That was definitely an episode.
That was the peak of his career.
Yeah.
So, did anyone else feel like some of the direction in this episode was a little strange? Like the cinematography, I don't know, some of the camera angles just were either really close up to people's faces or just from unorthodox viewpoints, I guess. I enjoyed seeing the orange fall down and getting the camera angle from within Helheim.
Oh, but yeah, I forgot about that.
Then there were scenes like the conversation between Coda and Mai, where it was really zoomed in on their faces. I don't know. There were a couple of moments like that, specifically when Ryoma was on screen, where some of the cinematography just seemed really kind of out of the norm for me.
The only one that now that you mentioned, I remember is the orange perspective, but the other ones, I honestly didn't really notice that much. Now I feel like going back and rewatching it just to see, but I completely forgot about the orange thing. Because I thought there was a reason for it, for the angle, like when it first started, but there wasn't, other than just, hey, here's a new perspective. Yep.
Okay.
But yeah, I wish there was a little bit more to talk about this episode. Like you said, when we started, it does feel a little bit more like a setup to what's about to happen.
Yeah. Next week they're invading the tower, so that should be fun.
A whole bunch of them are going to go beat up people.
Yep.
Did anybody else notice how much more Michi is starting to resemble Takatora now?
With the hair and the suit.
Well,
he wears
a suit.
His hair's the same. He's wearing the suit. Even the way he's standing in a lot of scenes, he's standing exactly like Takatora used to.
Same person. He got single white female.
And I mean, it's been happening for a while now, but this episode it was really apparent to me for some reason.
Yeah, he keeps doing that hand in the pocket thing that Takatora always did. And yeah, I agree. He instead of being his shadow, he's just becoming him.
So creepy.
That's so Michi.
That's so Michi, the creepiest sitcom of all time.
Anything involving Michi is pretty creepy.
Remember That's So Bagun?
That's a thing.
That thing was classic.
Remember That's So Ravemon? That's a classic.
Remember Sweet Life of Decadramon?
Oh.
The fun. Alright, well, should we move on before we do more Digimon puns out of the blue?
Yep.
Alright. So.
Because now it's time for Garo's Corner. That's the worst jingle in the history of jingles. It really is.
You suck.
So this was a thing, and then there was a clip show.
Yeah, like, what was it, 14 was the one from last week that we didn't do?
Yeah.
That one had potential. to be a terrific episode if I gave a shit. I don't give a shit. So it was awful.
Well, I mean, I don't think that's the only reason why it was bad. I do think that it just kind of fell short in what it was trying to do, which was expand on Mayuri's background, which just isn't that interesting.
She's not that interesting.
It was kind of a very quick little backstory, and then we kind of piddled around a bit in her mind, and that was about it. Like, it's really not that interesting, and Raiga tried to feed her a dog treat to get her to be better, and that didn't work. But
damn.
There's not really much to say. I do agree, though, that at this point, I really don't care that much. I don't think that her backstory is all that interesting. I'm really not invested in the story or any of the characters. I find the whole situation to be really generic, which is unfortunate for a Garo series. I don't watch Garo to watch like rehash storylines. Especially when it's really not done very well. It's just kind of there.
I've never been this bored with Garo before, and it's not doing it at all.
There were definitely a couple of episodes last season, mm-hmm. kind of at the midway point, but yeah, I've never been this consistently just down on one of these series.
It needs to do a lot soon, and I keep saying that every week, and it never does. So my hope is, like, nil.
Well, it's only got, like, 10 episodes left. And
yeah, I don't see it doing a whole lot.
Yeah. It's just, it feels like we're moving at a snail's pace. I don't know. It's not interesting. I don't know how many times I can really repeat that before.
Yeah.
And like I said, the second episode was a clip show, so fuck that noise.
Yeah, it wasn't like when Overtime released it, like, oh, it's a good clip show. I'm like, well, clip shows are never good, but okay. And then there was nothing good about this clip show at all. But
there were a couple of new scenes
We got a couple little story tidbits, but
yeah. Yeah. Aside from him just like talking into the camera, we had a couple of scenes where, you know, Crow was fixing his hair, or Raiga was being very obsessive about the order of the table chairs. Like, who cares? Like,
this show sound so exciting.
I get that that's, like, trying to make them out to be these quirky characters, but we're 14 episodes in, 15. It's a clip show. I don't care. I don't. So what? And I think Mayuri's thing, which was just, like, she's not funny. Yeah, she isn't funny. She's not an interesting character. Thank you for pointing that out. And then it ends with Raiga talking about how Gonza is a part of his family. Okay. Like, I get that. I got that even without you telling me that. I wish I could feel more about that scene, but I just don't.
I completely agree. Like, there was nothing. The only thing I could think of that did happen was they kind of pinned down when What's-Her-Face and Koga got swept up by the sky or whatever happened.
That is actually about as accurate as the show gets with that.
Sky just ate them. Like, it happened when he was six. His mom got swept up, and then his dad's like, I'm good, go find her, and he got swept up too. The end.
Yeah. That's Garo for the past 2 weeks. Look forward to next week when we have nothing new to say.
Sounds about right, yep. So now moving along to Ramble.
Is it naked time?
It can be. You just
yes!
Just whip it all off. Just go for it.
Oh, I will.
Ramble time. Ha.
Aww. naked time.
Does anyone got anything about Pokemon? Because I don't.
I just want to know what it was about. I can't remember.
I was going to ask that, too.
Does anybody know what Pokemon was about this week?
We do this every week.
I'm looking
every
up.
Week.
It's a staple of the show at this point.
Flabébé. Flower.
Oh, yeah, and it lost its flower. And What's-Her-Face wanted to keep it.
Midget. Yeah, that's boring.
I don't remember her name. No, I know it. Carly.
Bye.
No. Damn. Who's Carly?
Carmen?
No.
Carly's from Transformers.
No. Damn it. But I guess there's nothing to talk about this week then other than let us know who Carly is. Somebody find out. Get on it.
Oh, excuse me.
I didn't get to say last week how awesome Mega Metagross is. That's just me. I got to. I didn't.
He is pretty cool.
He has a giant, like, Metang penis.
I don't think... Okay.
What? Just saying.
So, Cora?
What's her name? Cora? It's like carrot. It's really confusing to spell.
Cora, the Explorer.
I really like this week's episodes again.
All right.
Especially the first one.
The metal bending place. Ever.
What?
For me, it cut out, so all I heard was, I just want to say the metal bending place. Ever.
Oh, it's the best place ever.
But I particularly like the first episode, kind of dealing with Lynn's and... what's her sister's name? Is she Carly?
Su-Yin.
Damn. Carly. Right.
There's no Carly, goddammit.
But, yeah, I really like that. I kind of expected... I don't want to say I was disappointed by what the past was, but I was, for some reason I was expecting it to be something more serious, just because I'm on the level that Lynn was reacting... And how mean she was to Opal, it seemed like very much an overreaction.
Yeah, a little bit.
At least.
But I liked seeing, like, kind of like their backstory. You get to see adult Toph, like, being police chief.
You got to see it while Lynn got her scar.
Yeah.
On Mustafar with Obi-Wan, it was like, what? Actually, he would have gotten Anakin Star
Wars. His genitals on Mustafar.
But. The point is, scars. Right,
but I liked watching Korra learning to metal bend, and like Bolin
metal bending avatar.
Bolin sitting there like trying to not be interested.
I don't want to metal bend because I like rocks. Rocks are the coolest. He's secretly trying to metal bend, and then he's being weird again.
Like, what are you doing,
Bolin?
It's like, what are you doing? Nothing. Like. I know you're doing something. No. You little freaking kid.
But I like the idea of Korra learning to metal bend. I think it would be really cool to I don't know if it would happen through the series, but it would be really cool to see her or another avatar like know all of the different bending like facets, like lightning and metal bending and what else do we have? Blood bending, I guess. That's super creepy, though. That... Boom eye thing. I don't know if she needs the eye for that, but she could probably blow shit up with her mind. I want to learn to blow shit up with my mind.
That lava thing the other guy does.
Oh yeah, when he heats up the rocks.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Like that would be nice though. Like,
I feel like I'm forgetting one.
There's probably another one, but I really liked that they gave us an entire episode dedicated to. The Airbenders, And just like, so we could see, you know, what's going on with them, what they're doing, how their training is going, how awesome Milo is.
Look to your left. Look to your right. One of those people will not make it out here alive.
Like, that line broke me. Like,
I loved in the first episode where he's like, Milo, you need to look after the airbenders that come to the island. And he goes, those maggots will bow to me. Milo is the best.
Like, every time he does shit like that, I just break. Like, I can't handle it. Like, then they go in to go rescue Jinora from the poachers, and he, like, rushes in, beating people's asses. His sister's over there on her little airbending ball, like, rolling around. Like, this is fantastic.
I love when Tenzin shaved that guy's head.
Yes!
He's like, it's a personal choice. Because I didn't know that either. I thought it was going to be mandatory.
Yeah, he's like, who's next to shave your head? And they're like, I don't really want to. He's like, it's okay. Shaving your head's a personal choice. I was like, the fuck?
Save that guy's life.
I know. That was kind of cool.
He got caught in a net and then probably saved later, but he didn't get in the net then, which is important.
I liked how Tenzin and Jinora got in a fight because she wanted tattoos and he said no. He's like, I want my tats. No. You end up like JDF. You just be all tatted up everywhere, showing them off one picture at a time on Instagram.
Jesus didn't bend. That one doesn't work as well. Jesus didn't white.
But it doesn't.
I forgot Jesus didn't wipe was a thing.
Let's see. I feel like there was some other stuff I wanted to bring up.
How cute the baby bisons are.
The baby bisons are always cute. But it was something in the first episode.
Their fight? The fight between Lin and Sue?
Well, yeah, the fight was cool. The fight was really cool.
Like, go bomb!
One thing that... Lin kind of... I don't want to say turned quickly, because that's a really weird way of putting it. But, like, the next morning, she's just like, oh, everything's fine.
Good morning, all. Well, it's because of her acupuncturing.
You know? Acupuncture was hilarious.
Needles in your face, pleasure in your base. She's essentially like Ben. All she needed was a Batman outfit, and her treat yourself day would have been complete.
Like, I love it. It's like, he's trying, like, we're going to need more needles. Like, it's going to take a little bit longer than normal.
But I just kind of assumed that part of her sort of peace of mind, well, came from not only sort of getting her aggression out in the fight, but from that whole process of the acupuncture. That's just what I kind of assumed.
Yeah.
So I should kind of be in a bee about it.
Putting everything back in balance and just putting it all to rest. I liked it when they flung around that dude's statue. And it's my statue! Well, wait.
The banana.
It actually looks kind of better now. Never mind. Carry on. That fucking statue, man. That shit's funny.
I feel like Varric did something this episode, but I can't remember what he did.
He had that magnet suit.
Oh, yeah.
He had the Robin magnet suit from Lego Batman. He was over there just like... he's like, and now Julie's going to pick all this up. She's just like, aw.
Julie.
She's just like, God damn it.
And you know, the second episode was pretty much entirely Coraless, except for when Tenzin called her on the phone, which I didn't
know,
because I didn't think they could do it.
And I think the episode went really well, even though it didn't have Korra in it, I thought it still flowed fairly well.
You know, and there's also the ragtag gang of villains escaped from Republic City, and they're on their way to Viridian City now. They're on
Viridian City.
No, but they escaped, and it was kind of a cool little escape scene.
I like Boomy. Like, it's like I need your help, Boomy. How do I motivate them? Break them down. Make them suffer. Okay.
You know what seemed weird to me is when he was like, I guess it could have just been frustration because of Tenzin, but he said, I never wanted airbending, but he was so excited to get it, and he was always disappointed he wasn't. It just seemed weird for him to be like, you know what? I never asked for any of this. I'm too old for this stuff.
I don't know. Maybe I guess he figured it wouldn't come with having a dick for a brother. like you know, that he wanted it, but he didn't think it was require, like, all this intense training and his brother just being a complete douche.
I get where Tenzin's coming from, though, because he's trying to rebuild this whole culture. And he's, like, the only one with all the stories about all the days that Airbender Gandhi survived. That's what I assume the story was about.
Airbender Gandhi?
It's not a story about a guy that fasted for a really long time.
Oh, yeah. I love how he starts that off, and then he's telling that story, and then I forgot who it was that came up, but he made a comment about it. He's like, oh, yeah, that boring guy that wouldn't eat for a long time.
But I guess also it's a good time to bring up the fact that next week there's only going to be one episode, and then the remaining are being pulled and put online at
some point. What the fuck is happening? Like,
I guess it's all the crappy ratings it's been getting. It's been a really crappy situation for Korra. And I'm not sure why it started. Like, obviously this season's been super awkward because of the online leaks and then putting it up real quick, two at a time. So it's obvious why this season struggled. But in season two, I know it wasn't doing that great either. And I'm not sure why. Because I was talking about this earlier about how when season one premiered and when it was coming out, there was a lot of hype and promotion around it, and Avatar was obviously a huge success for Nickelodeon, so Korra was like a huge deal, and then all of a sudden it's like falling, and I don't know why, like, that happened all of a sudden.
It's the original, that's why.
And I know there was a gap between, like, a long gap between books one and two, but still, there was a long gap between Avatar and Korra, and there was still a lot of hype for it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's that nothing beats the original mentality, probably. Like, it's not Aang, and it's, you know, there's always new scary technology and everything. It's less old school Asian-y because now they have cars and, you know, planes.
Asian-y
and shit.
Cars.
Actually, no, it's just early 1900s cars. It's not Asian-y cars.
1900 cars. They look Asian.
You're stupid.
They're like Johnny Yong Bosch. If they just try hard enough, they can look Asian. But anyway, I don't know. I'm not sure entirely like why that happened. And we don't really know when. We really don't know much. We just know that it's going to go online. We don't know when, what order, will it all be at once. We don't know. And then we know they've already ordered book four, and I believe they're already working on it, or, you know, in the middle of it. So. That, since that's already been ordered, I'm not sure where that's going to air either. Would that be exclusively online? I hope it doesn't go to Nicktoons because it's not in HD. And Korra looks so pretty in HD.
It really does. And I mean, I would hope they'd still go through with Book 4. I mean, I would imagine that they've planned it out since they had a...
Well, because like they already renewed it. So
yeah, well, like,
they were working on 3 and 4. I don't know if they were doing it one after the other or simultaneously, like the Avatar movies, but I know... Oh, that's funny. Like, but, you know, sorry.
Well, like, because I know originally it was like that, a mini series, and then they got expanded, and they ordered books 2, 3, and 4 all at once. So, it feels like everything is kind of flowing into each other.
But they've had to have been working on it already. And since they already ordered it, they can't be like JK.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would think that book 3 is flowing into something. And so... it has to have some kind of a conclusion, which would be book 4. I just don't know how we're going to get it.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be unfortunate if it wasn't on TV. It just seems like Korra's not that type of series that just goes out like that. It's supposed to go out fighting.
Like, it's just so good. Like,
yeah, that's what's unfortunate, too, is it's a really fantastic show, and then it doesn't get that much viewership. It's just
like, I don't understand why so many of the good shows do so poorly. Like, Green Lantern and Young Justice got canceled. Of course, they were doing well, but they just couldn't sell toys that didn't exist. But like, it's just, you know, these good, there's a show that has great writing, great voice talent, great animation. It's got this whole world built around it, and that really sucks you into it every week. I mean, every episode, you're really sucked into the Avatar world, and you know all the creatures and the characters and just the whole culture that they live in, and then like they're just getting screwed over because I don't know what the fuck's happening, man.
I don't know, it's been really messy. As long as book four goes through, at least it'll have closure and it won't just abruptly end.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's unfortunate. But at least we'll have one episode to talk about next week. It's gonna seem really short now because it's like watching Korra the movie every week.
Yeah, it's kind of upsetting. Like, because now we had something to talk about in Ramble Time, and this is gonna go away.
Luckily, in a few months, we'll have the fall shows, and Brian won't be caught up, so we won't be able to talk about those either. Damn it, Brian. Why do you have to be such a communist?
We'll have Arrow, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Alright. Did you watch Falling Skies, Brian?
Yep.
This week was kind of more of a filler episode, I felt, compared to previous weeks.
I was bored.
Well, I wasn't quite bored, but... there wasn't as much going on. I mean, it was because it definitely filler. The most interesting thing that really happened was Lexi got a fever, which sounds really boring when I just say it now. But I guess it wasn't that exciting, but she got all sick, and Ben gets beat up when the Asfeni gets beat up, so that's not cool. They ran over a mech with a truck. Pup's like, fuck the police, and then he just ran over the mech. That was funny. Damn it, Brian, laugh at Pope's antics.
Fuck the police. There
and Lady go. Pope. Don't forget Lady Pope. She was there too, being Pope, but with a vagina.
Vagina? I heard
that. There really wasn't much. I mean, we just had those dick brothers trying to kidnap Tom. And something about not wanting to shoot bunnies. But next week looks like it's going to be pretty good. Because it looks like everyone's going to finally arrive at not Terminus. And
Terminus?
Terminus from Walking Dead.
Terminus is that guy on Twitter. It's all Doctor Who talking all the time. He's British.
Yeah, it looks like they'll all arrive next week. And Lexi's going to like go in a cocoon. And she's going to come out as Jakina. I could see that happening just because of the nature of the way the Asfeni look. Clearing this, Brian. I'm having a hard time here. I'm trying my best to hold this up.
I got nothing.
I didn't even got that.
I didn't. It doesn't help that I was watching this and then I had to pause it, and I didn't get back to it for several hours after.
So you kind of got out of the episode.
So there was like this big long gap between the first half and the second half of this episode. So it was really weird for me, but no, I don't got a whole lot. You covered everything.
There really isn't a whole lot to say.
There really wasn't a whole lot to talk about. So.
Yeah, it was much more of a filler. It was kind of this sort of traveling episode that's going to bridge when everyone finds each other next week.
So this was Filler Skies instead of Falling Skies.
Filler Skies? Oh, but there is the news that Falling Skies is renewed for one more season next year, and it's the final season. And, like, I'm sad that it's ending, but I'm also happy because I'm glad that they announced that next season's the last season instead of announcing during this season that it's the last season.
Yeah.
Because I hate when shows do that because it's like you're not ready. And I think with the way everything is, I think that that's, like, the perfect amount of time to wrap everything up.
Yeah, it should end. I don't want to say pleasantly, but it should end
satisfying.
Pretty solid.
Yeah, like, and I feel like that's the right amount of time where I won't feel like it's overstaying its welcome. And it seems like it's gearing up to some good stuff, so. At least we'll have one more summer of Falling Skies, where Brian will be like, yeah. In our amazing discussions.
Well, we were doing okay the other weeks, it's just this week sucked.
I think the best part about this week was that Shaq got more of a personality. He's like, he's not quite like Coachee's level of awesome yet. Coachee's like, hell yeah, I'm Coachee's. He separated from them, I think, to look for his squad, which is with everybody else, and he don't think he knows it. I'm going to look for my squad. Oh, yeah, they're with everyone else. You're just going off to nowhere, Coachee's.
Did anybody else hear that tiny bird whistling?
What?
Is it just me?
No, I heard gone. It.
It was like...
I heard Dawson was naked.
That has nothing to do with
the tiny aerosol. Bird.
Again, nothing to do with the tiny bird.
In a hot tub.
Speaking of hot tubs, did we want to talk about Cocker Ranger for a couple minutes? About the journey so far?
Because those cool.
They do, because...
The journey so far?
There is people
like hot springs.
Well, there's actually a hot tub inside of the cat bus.
Probably. Is there?
No.
Oh. Could have flown by me. You never know.
Do I get to sing Carry On Wayward Son?
No. We're not. No? It's not supernatural.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, so Cocker Ranger. I'm okay with it so far. I don't hate it. I'm not terribly into it yet. It's certainly interesting. Like, I didn't know too much about it compared to a lot of the other ones before we started. So I didn't expect them to have Beetleborgs effects, and I didn't expect the show to be narrated by a guy in a pink bathrobe. I wasn't expecting that.
I had only heard about the narrator from Anchor Crab about a week before we started watching. Aside from that, yeah, I knew nothing about the series aside from, hey, they're ninjas. And all of the Zords are backwards in this season.
Yeah.
They're alien fish people, right? They're alien fish people?
I think that's part of the draw to this, and to a certain extent, Die Ranger as well. Because we really don't know that much going into it, so everything's kind of new. It's not a series where we've seen all of the footage being played out.
Yeah, it's like almost like halfway, because it's like with Jetman, there was nothing we knew about it, but with Die Ranger and Cocker Ranger, it's like seen one half to one fourth of the footage. obviously didn't use any of the monster fights.
Yeah, none of the monster fights, like, it's really just Zord footage. Like, that's about it.
Not even all of it at that.
No.
Because there's some parts that weren't in it, I remember.
But, personally, I like it. I think it's fine. I've been enjoying myself. I can't really say anything necessarily one way or the other. We're only half a week into it, which is like six episodes. I've watched up to episode 10.
Cheetah!
What? Oh, cheater. I thought you were calling me a cheetah.
Yeah, you're so fast.
How's that correlate?
As fast as lightning.
Aerosol's a cheetah? Evening.
But no,
is Dawson Rat Trap?
Dibs on Primal.
I haven't really had like a hard time watching it, which was the case with Mega Ranger and sort of Gal Ranger as well, and definitely Z Ranger in a lot of the shit we watch, basically. I haven't had a tough time like getting through episodes, so I don't know. I've felt more compelled to just kind of carry on watching them, which up to episode 10 is just through this week, so I'll probably take a little bit of a break until Monday. But I've been enjoying myself so far. I actually kind of enjoy the characters, what little we know of them.
It's super cool. I'm still learning everyone's name, so I don't know Black's name yet, but I really like him.
Jiraiya.
He's Jiraiya, yeah.
Oh, everyone settle down, you're all yelling at me. Jiraiya, Jiraiya, I know it. Like, you're raising your hands, like.
He's the dude that speaks English.
Yeah. I'll just call him the Black one.
They've all got ninja names. Sasuke, Jiraiya.
Tsuruhime.
Shane.
Corey. I think one of them's called Sekai.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, the dude that keeps following him around that showed up when they opened the gate and he's got, like, a funny hat on. Does anybody else think that looks just like Mr. S? Am I the only one? Like, I showed up, I'm like, holy shit, this works. Did anybody else know?
I'll have to look at him again. I didn't get that vibe at first, but...
Like it's not exact if you, like, really stare at him, but when he first appeared, like, he looks very similar to him. Like...
I'll have to look. I don't know.
But, yeah, I randomly thought of that. But I forgot about him, because I don't think he was in the last episode or so. So, but, yeah. He reminds me of Mr. S.
There's also a lot of flannel.
Everyone's dressed really weird.
It's definitely a 90s show. There's a lot of flannel.
One thing I do like, which is one of the things I actually liked about Jetman, is I liked that they weren't all formed in the first episode, and they were sort of formed slowly over time. I just kind of like that they don't rush it.
Cock Ranger starts red, white, and blue because they know where it's at.
I would have liked to see it prolonged just a little bit more. We really didn't get to learn that much about Ninja, is what I almost called him. Ninja Yellow or Ninja Black in their first episodes, but I do like how the team has sort of gone one member at a time. And I like the first episode. I like how it's basically just following around Red and Blue as they get chased by monsters and freak out over the course of an entire episode, because what the hell is going on? I actually do really like Sasuke. I don't know why. Probably because he doesn't really look like any other Reds.
Is he the one with the bandana?
Yeah.
They know none of them wear bandanas. That's what it is. It's the
bandana.
Well,
no, like, just, I guess, his overall appearance, he doesn't... He's not really like any of the sort of stern, responsible Reds that we had prior to this, and then...
Or the, like, crazy, wacko Reds.
Yeah, most of the ones now are, like, hyper, or, you know, maybe a serious one here and there, but they're all, like, pretty boy, crazy guys, you know?
Yeah.
And Red's just sort of like a cool dude, or Ninja Red's just sort of like a cool dude. Like,
there was a couple episodes back, maybe it was today's, I don't remember, because I watched 1 through 6 really close together. But he, when they were in the, I think it was today's, when they fought the trash guy, and they had to go in and save everyone. And he's like, well, I made everyone go in without me because I knew if everyone got captured, then there'd be no one to rescue us. So I'm back here. We'll go get him.
Yeah, he kind of comes off as an idiot, but there's a few moments over the course of the episodes that I've watched so far that he's had like that, where it's... He's kind of planned it out a bit. He kind of knows what's going on. He's not a genius, but he's good at what he does. There's one scene, and it's probably the very next episode you're going to watch, but he pulls out this like X-ray telescope thing, or X-ray binoculars or something like that, and he pulls him out, and he just immediately looks at Tsuruhime's chest. And then Blue's just like, did you see anything? He's just like, no, nothing.
Nope, she too young. Sorry.
You know, it's kind of funny when you think about it, how, like, in Power Rangers, like, the default Red is just sort of a generic, like responsible, sort of generic hero type. And in Japan, like, lately, the generic Red, when you think of it, is like a borderline mental patient. I think it's really funny that, like, there's just the differences of that. I mean, you have different ones every year, but more often than not, it's usually those that you think of when you think of Reds of either Sentai or Rangers, and it's just kind of funny. Or Japan. But is there anything else to say? It's weird the Zords are out of order. It'll always just seem weird.
And
what are the Battleborgs in this one? Why didn't Ninja? Where's Ninjor? Like, I have all these questions.
He isn't in it yet.
Well, isn't he the one that gets? There's no temple. What happened? I don't understand. I'm lost. I always assumed that he gave them the powers and he was the mentor.
No,
he's not Zordon of this show.
Doesn't he not come in until they get the Ninja Megazord?
Yeah, I think he comes
in. So that's
later.
When they go on the Ninja Quest. So that's when they go to the Desert of Despair.
That's why they had to stop using Ninjor footage like halfway through.
That's why he was in a jar.
Season 3.
Okay. Like, I just always assumed that. But fuck, what was I going to say, though? Because I asked where Ninjor was. I got that answer. Damn it, I lost my train of thought about Zords. Oh, the Battleborgs. What are they in this show? Are they going to be like the lightning mode to the Shogun Zords? And I don't know. I never read anything about it. Because in my mind, they're just, you know, Ninjor gave them to the Alien Rangers. And they just happen to look like the Shogun Zords.
I have no idea unless Kevin does or anything. I don't know.
I'm looking forward to finding out, so.
I'm assuming that they're just close relatives to the Beetleborgs, so. Yeah. That's what we'll probably find out, but I don't know. There's all kinds of interesting stuff about like that.
Today, this is not really related to the show necessarily, but I was looking up the actors to see what they have done. And Ninja Red also played a Japanese Magna Defender in Gingaman. He was Japanese Mike. So he played that character in Gingaman. Then it got obviously adapted into Lost Galaxy, and then Lost Galaxy got dubbed into Japanese. Ninja Red did the voice for Leo, and Ninja Blue did the voice for Mike. So in this really weird way, both of them have played the same character.
Timey-wimey. In this weird way, the Magna Defender is two fish people. But not really.
Oh, God.
But yeah, it'll be an interesting watch just to see how the footage unfolds. It's already weird that, like, the trash monster is in, like, the wall monster that we've... They were, like, from the last section of MMPR Season 3. Because, like, the trash one was from A Different Shade of Pink, and the wall one was from when they're like, hey, let's clean up this place that's been randomly littered again. Oh, no, the wall came alive. That's what happened. It's interesting because I think of those as later monsters. And when's Master Vile going to show up? What the hell? Where is everybody?
Something I think is kind of neat is that all of the monsters that we've seen in these first six episodes were in the very first episode. Seeing like all of the monsters really early on, and then kind of they come in as time goes on.
Yeah, you know, I noticed that. They're all dancing around and shit.
You know, it kind of reminds me of Kamen Rider in a way where, like, you have these monsters that are, like, you know, in this little faction, and they turn into humans and they talk to each other about what they're going to do. And then, you know, they're like a policeman and all of a sudden it's a monster. That kind of reminds me of that in a way. I still want to know where Master Vile is. isn't he the big bad of the show?
I guess so.
I don't know, so many questions. I feel like I'm dropped in an alternate world and I'm just asking where everyone is. This is like when Tori got dropped into where Lothar was good. That's what it's like when I'm watching Cock Ranger. That's exactly what it's like. Why aren't they fish people? Where's Ninjor? Can you point me in the direction of the command center? Why is it Tommy in this show? I don't get it. Are these Cock Rangers just fighting while some children are a quest of some kind? That's just what I want to know. Is the
also,
Hydro
there was a fat kid with a Canadian shirt.
Yeah, that was really funny. That's how they label people in Japan in the 90s. Canadian. Yeah, he had a Robin Sparkles jacket, too. He caught it. But what was I going to say? I want to know something. I don't know what I want to know. There's something else. Oh, Cock Ranger.
Yeah, hopefully it continues to be kind of enjoyable. I can tell you right now, you guys are probably going to hate episode 9. it focuses on Ninja Black and it's all about like TV and shit. It's kind of dumb. It's really dumb.
Is it like about Mike TV from Willy Wonka because he's kind of a cowboy and then Mike TV wore that cowboy stuff?
I don't know why. Like, this is the first thing I thought of. Cowboys, TV, obviously Mike TV.
No. Oompa loompa doompa dee doo.
Now we're just petering off now.
Oh,
we're singing.
Wow.
Our Cockeranger, just for the record, I want to just make sure everyone knows our Cockeranger discussion ended with Oompa Loompa doompa dee doo.
Alright. And now it's time for. I shall introduce the Facebook now? Should I introduce the Facebook now? Okay.
And now it's time for what?
Oh, no, go ahead. Okay. You go ahead, jingle it up.
Good, now it's time for the Facebook quest of the bi-weekness.
Sort of. So we
know it's
brought,
like weekly now, and
it's like weekly eventness.
And now there's a lisp.
There's, yeah, Tyrannothorith.
I was going to say, are you Randy Newman now all of a sudden?
But so, yeah, we brought back, as mentioned last week, a Facebook question event thing with favorite ranger each week from Power Rangers. As I said, if it's Sentai, I send it back. Luckily, I didn't have to send any back. So this week we started with, who is your favorite Red Ranger?
How are you going to send it back?
Delete it?
Okay.
Go.
Jeff Moses says, Theodore J. Jarvis Johnson. TJ.
Am I two? I forgot.
You're usually two.
Yes.
All right. I forgot. No, I forgot the order we do this in. Jared Castillo says, Andros, the Rest Space Ranger, is the best ranger ever. Rest Ranger power.
Joel James Jageja.
J. Jonah Jameson.
Cole, Red Wild Force Ranger. And go, Aerosol. Have fun.
In regards to my favorite Red Ranger, I'm going to pick Andros from Power Rangers in Space. His whole backstory to find his beloved sister, Caron, who got kidnapped prior to the show and became Darkonda.
What? When did that happen?
That's not... Okay. makes his character more agile and deep.
I don't remember him becoming that.
Of liking a character because they became more agile.
In the fact that he's seeking revenge on those who kidnapped her sister. Darkonda's sister? Okay. Plus his willingness to sacrifice Zordon in the last few episodes of Power Rangers in Space has truly left a mark for most Power Rangers fans. He's also strong and reliable in any situation, making Andros a true leader of the in-space team and a true Red Ranger. Winky face.
Oh my goodness.
I'm laughing like a monkey. Dark Coronda is my favorite.
So that was after Dark Clipner. He's like, who else can I abduct? Oh god. Okay. Edgar Joestar Quek says,
what happened to Sembra? How long have we been gone?
Obviously Jack, because of his dreadlocks that even a space dog man couldn't resist, which is obviously the only reason Sky wasn't made the Red Ranger from the beginning, because of his lack of dreadlocks.
Well, and because he felt bad that Jack was getting eaten from the inside by baby skitters later. So that was also a factor. TKDT Gray says, my favorite is Jungle Fury Red. It really because I love the underdog rising up to be the best of the bunch. This isn't including bias, since the whole spirit of the Tiger TKD Tigre thing. Just to mention, I never would even thought of that. Because I'm an idiot.
Kevin Phantom Thong says, what Tony the Tiger said.
Hey, Tony.
Casey started as the tall boys and became stronger throughout the episodes, not to mention the guy works at a pizza parlor.
Casey was the towel boy. I feel so bad we're just making fun of people's answers, but it's so good.
Casey was all of the towel boys.
Cory Gong says, I'm going to go with Sky from SPD. Sure, he only transformed into red 2-ish times max, but I figure he counts. While some reds fall flat in terms of character progression and overall change, we got do see Sky develop into a leadership role, and by the end of the series, he gets to reach his goal as leader of Beta. This, combined with his amazing focus episodes, made me love him all the more.
Like a Beta, I just think of werewolves.
Conveniently, I get to read this one. Charles Chong says, Shuki in a red shirt sounds pretty cool.
It does sound pretty cool.
Suck up.
And I get to read this one from Danger, Joe Bailey. Eric Myers, because he humps legs. If he doesn't, then it's Leo Dross.
All right.
If it was Sentai, it would have been Akabuster.
Let's see. Christian Shear, who apparently is in a
first time commenter.
People. Yeah. His favorite Red Ranger is Andros because was badass loner with a really cool backstory, and he destroyed the universe's biggest child sex offender, Zordon.
Thank you for commenting for the first time, and also your first comment making a sex offender joke about Zordon. No, but seriously, I appreciate new people are commenting. It makes me happy.
Andrew Booth says, Connor from Dino Thunder, because Dino Thunder is my favorite season.
Fair enough. Peter Lee says, Connor is my favorite PR season, and he's pretty cool.
What's your favorite Power Rangers season, Connor? Oh man, you guys are great this week. Did you guys all show up to this thing high?
No, that one wasn't his fault. I read it wrong.
Oh.
Connor is from my favorite PR season.
Oh. Derek Zartan says, bow to me because I have a villain name. No, he says, Zach because... Wait, Zach?
Zach?
Jack. Because he could walk through walls and change the letter of his first name at will.
J's make a J sound.
Zzz.
Your mother's a whore. Chenix Stewart says, mine is the A-Squad leader because I fight sexism. Yeah. No, but in all seriousness, mine is Wes because I like his story.
I love that comment comes after that long discussion we just had.
Did I miss the discussion?
Yeah.
That sucks. I had the discussion by myself on Ask FM, so it's all good.
I'm sorry, JM.
Oh, fuck you.
JM Baxter says, agreeing with Chenix on this one, one of my favorite elements of Time Force was how Wes wasn't part of the team, but had to join out of necessity. It led to really strong character growth for him.
Lester Barrett says, Rocky, this is too fun, DeSantos.
Tyrannosaurus!
Red Ranger power!
Cleft Palette Martin says, tough call! I was just trying to think of different ways to say his name. Tough call! But I'm going to go with Casey simply because of how much his character evolved over time. He rose up from being a towel boy, it came with a towel boy, to single-handedly taking down Daishi's entire base in the course of 32 episodes. That is the power of RJ's teachings. I wanted to do the emphasis, too.
And George Hansen Jr. says, for me, it's a tie between Lauren and Casey. Lauren may have been just in a few episodes and was underused, but Kim really stood out among her cast. That's not hard to do. I love how broken she was. It was like a toned-down Jen. Casey had a fantastic arc developing so well. The scene where he goes to save Jared still gives me chills. So that's a thing.
Now is the part where we give our answers.
Oh, Jesus.
I'll go first.
Mine changes a lot, but right now I'd have to say is actually Scott. I really liked his character the last time I rewatched RPM, and I probably will when I get to it eventually again. But what I like about him in particular is that I like that while he's one of those sort of military background stricter Reds, he's not a complete douche about it. Like, while he's from a military background, he's more flexible and can be kind of cool and not a complete stick-in-the-mud like Carter. Mainly because he's not Carter. Scott's my favorite because he's not Carter. No, but I just like that twist on it, because usually those type of characters are super, like, annoyingly rigid, and I like that he was just more flexible and had much more of a personality.
Well, my favorite's Carter.
Get out.
It isn't. But someone else should probably go.
That's all I had.
I'll go, I guess. I'm with Awesome here. It kind of bounces around sometimes, but if I had to pick one right now, I'd probably go with Wes. It has a little bit to do with the fact that the last season I watched besides MMPR is Time Force. So it's very fresh in my mind, and I've always really dug his story. And in the same fashion, I really like Casey's growth too. Because I tend to like characters that have a kind of developed story progression a lot. Surprise, surprise. So I kind of like them two the most. But
I have to go with the only correct answer to this, Jason, because MMPR, and nothing beats the original. You know, he's his hair never moved one time. And how do you beat that?
I forgot about the hair moving jokes. How did I rewatch all of MMPR and Zio and not make a hair moving joke?
You know, he had that one cousin who could do things with that mirror. He could train on the beach. I don't know why that's important.
He scuba dived a lot.
And then he went off to a peace conference. I mean, how much more badass do you get than going off into the sunset by going to a peace conference? So, I mean, Jason is just this the all-around badass that is the best Red Ranger ever. Plus, how can you do this without the original Red Ranger?
With Rocky, probably.
Yeah, but he's Mexican.
Do you have a real answer, or was that
do I have a real answer? Like,
but seriously.
Seriously, that's just getting my nerves now. Can we get a real person? I don't know. Scott? His brother died, and he still went and killed people. That was a thing. Or we could say Andros for that whole pedophile killing thing. He killed Zordon. That's also, I like that answer. That was a good answer.
So no to the real answer question.
I never have a real answer. I just make shit up.
It's okay. I don't really have a real answer either. Oh, actually, who is that little fish bitch?
Wait, Oroko?
Oroko. Let's go with that guy.
That little fish bitch?
That's awesome.
I'll call him Fitch for short.
Oh man, what a Fitch.
So for the next remaining colors, are Brian and I going to be the only ones with answers?
Huh? No. I typically like don't gravitate towards reds.
Except for
I don't know what it is. I really don't find them to be all that interesting most of the time. I just tend to find my favorites in other colors, unfortunately.
You know who I really like? I really like Nick, because the whole show was about him. Just the whole focus of Mystic Force was Nick, and I really like that. It's all Nick all the time.
So stay tuned next week for blue.
I was going to do pink, but now I have to do blue. There we go. Now it's locked in.
Dawson was real excited about the idea of pink, too.
Spoilers. Our favorite spoilers. Is Justin.
Spoilers. My favorite pink Justin. Is Daniel Tosh. So.
Justin was clearly the best and most qualified. Picked when Zordon was on his way out. Quitting in a week doesn't even matter. Demetria didn't even care. Demetria showed up high and left high. She was just smoking the whole time. She was on something. All right, so I guess now it's time for...
Final Things! I have a thing, it's not final.
So, as we said, there's going to be apparently blue now, thanks to Brian. So look out for that and answer that. Google Power Rangers. I don't know anything else to say.
Once again, make sure you send in your questions or line reading submissions, I guess that we'll call them, for our Goldar interview with Kerrigan Mahan. And that is happening next week already. Because in a week's time passes.
And what? Time passes?
Stuff.
Time passes.
So make sure you do that. And we'll be here next week with either two episodes or one really long episode, depending on how this goes.
Also depends on what timeline you're in.
That too.
Just for a little bit of reference on the whole interview thing, we will be doing it Wednesday. So yeah. Try to get them in before then.
So hurry up.
I know that only gives you guys a couple more days by the time this episode goes up, but please. And then silence.
Sorry, just the please, like the way you said it, cracked me up. You just said, please, and nothing.
So stay tuned next week for awesome things.
That was a really lame ender.
You're a lame ender.
Aerosol's not. He's lost it already.
How many licks does it take to make the Zord white again?
A one, a two, a three.
And then I just bite its head off.
Oh, God. You're not a falcon! My childhood was a lie! There'll always be a falcon in my head, Ken.
Who's a falcon?
I'm gonna get American Core.
It's a crane.
Core Eugen. American Core Eugen.
Core Eugen is Corey's mecha and Girl Meets
just,
World.
I'm just gonna display the purple Triceratops alongside my pink Shogun Zord. And I'm gonna have them segregated from all the other Zords.
Different drinking fountains. It's getting offensive. Like, I don't know why, but from all the lessons when we learn about that time period, the drinking fountains is always what I remember. It seemed like they wouldn't stop talking about that they had different drinking fountains. It's like, I get it, but were they both cold? Like, it seemed like that was all they talked about. Like, yeah, things are real bad, but the worst? They had different drinking fountains. I hardly think that was the worst thing.
Okay.
I don't know, it's just, that's what they always talked about. That's a good warm-up. Talk about segregation and get you started.
Okay.